Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new laborers grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a laborers grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new laborers grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new laborers grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Welcome everyone to House of Israel. It's great to see everybody here, as well as you at home. As we like to say on this nice feast day, Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Wow. We've got a packed house in here today. It's wonderful. Shabbat Shalom on Yahovah's feast day. Amen. Today's message is entitled, The Renewed Mind. And for today's teaching, we'll be taking a pause from our verse-by-verse study in Hebrews. So, what is your New Year's resolution? Is there any change needed in your life? Yehovah is the creator of everything. However, people continue to post videos that twist the truth only to satisfy their own personal agendas. The time has come for a change. So stay tuned as we teach that we're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Yehovah has blessed you. You know, you'll also be able to ask questions, give testimony, and request prayer. And you can do all these if you go on arthurbaileyministries.com. In the lower right hand of the page, you'll see a chat icon. So join that chat icon, and there you can submit your questions, your testimonies, and your prayer requests, which we'll cover at the end of today's teaching. We also encourage you to subscribe on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, where you'll receive notifications of our upcoming teachings and the titles and special events. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, so like, subscribe, and definitely share. At this time, I'd like to invite Brother Stephen Mason to come up and lead us in opening prayer.
Shabbat Shalom, beloved brethren of the Most High who keep His commandments. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Your word says, when two or more are gathered, You are in the midst. And we welcome You here today, Father. And every day we welcome You here. And we pray that You give us knowledge, understanding, and discernment of the word that You are going to bring forth to us today through Your minister. We thank You for this day, and we give You praise that You have allowed us another day above ground, here on Your earth, to hear Your truth. And to take Your truth out and share it. And we pray that You give us the courage and the strength to do so, O Heavenly Father. We love You, we bless You, and we praise You this day and every day. You are the creator of the heavens, the earth, and the fullness thereof, and it all belongs to You, and we all belong to You, O gracious Father. And we love You, and we thank You for the blessings and favor that You show upon Your people. Heavenly Father, we thank You for answered prayer, because we seek Thee for all things, O gracious Father, and You answer us, and You heal us, and You provide us funding, You provide us protection, You provide us everything, O gracious Father, and we thank You for that. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we love You, we praise You, and it is an honor that we are here to gather and to worship You and to praise You and to follow and keep Your commandments as we have been commanded by our Lord and Master, Yeshua Messiah, through whom all things are possible. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we thank You. We praise You. We love You. And we thank You for the message that You are going to bring forth through Minister Tamai. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that You bless her and her family and lift them up as she is doing as You have commanded. We praise You, Father. And we lift up all the people, the apostles, the evangelists, the ministers, the preachers, and the teachers that are doing as You have commanded. And we lift them up to You, Father, and ask You that You continue to bless and to praise them as well, O gracious Father. We thank You, we love You, and we praise You. And we pray for Your protection. We pray for Your presence to come in the midst of us and to speak to each one of us, because You know where we are in our walk. And we seek Thee so Thou will give us the truth that we need in order to please You, so we may be pleasing as our Lord and Master is pleasing unto Thee. This we pray in Yeshua Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Well, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, to bring us the teaching, The Renewed Mind, please welcome Minister Tamai Fleming.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Whew. It is truly a good day today. I am so grateful to Father for what He has done and what He's doing in the life of His people, bringing us together during this feast time, getting to see people we haven't seen in months, some in years. It's really good to see everyone. Welcome to everyone online. I wish you were here with us, but we know that your prayers are with us and you are celebrating wherever you are, because this is Yehovah's appointed time for us to celebrate His holy days. So today, our teaching is The Renewed Mind. And I must admit, when Father first gave me this teaching. It started on my way home from Tabernacles last year as we were riding home in the car, and I was reflecting on everything that we learned and all of the fellowshipping and all of what we learned as we were here for Tabernacles. I began to ask Jehovah, Father, what next? What is the next move? What are we supposed to be doing? What, you know, it was a great time and I enjoyed every moment of it, but I kept saying, what next? And as I got home, Father began to talk to me about this renewed mind. And the more and more he began to talk to me, the more and more I just was, you know, to me, this was just my private time with Jehovah. I didn't know he was going to turn it into a teaching in front of all of you guys, but I followed the instructions of my Father. So he gave me this way back in November. And then I contacted Sharon and Arthur. But Father had let me know when he gave me the word that you will teach this in the new year. Now, when he first said it, my mind immediately went to our biblical new year. But when I first was in communication with Sharon, she, you know, the answer that came back was just pick a date. So I picked January because I just really just wanted to get it over with. But I also included in the message that Father had said this was something for the new year. And immediately Apostle did confirm that it was for the biblical new year. So here we are. And Father's challenge is a new year, a new mind, a different way of thinking. So as we go through, I'm just going to ask you for your prayers and your help when necessary. Okay. I hope I got this right. The wrong way. Okay. At the end of today's teaching, you will be able to ask questions, receive prayer, give your tithes and your offering. You will be able to ask questions on the subject of today's teaching. You will be able to ask questions on the subject of today's teaching. Amen? The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. Our declaration. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Amen. Amen. I don't rush through the declaration. I like to say it slow and I like to kind of, you know, contemplate it a little bit, because when you make a declaration to Jehovah, you ought to be clear about what you're saying. Amen. So, Father, I thank you right now for this time. I thank you for your faithfulness. Father, I thank you for everything that you have done thus far, even this day, for this is the day that you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father, I ask right now that as you speak through me, Father, that all the nervousness, all the concerns, everything will go away. And that your people will only hear what thus says Jehovah. Father, I thank you for trusting me to deliver this. And I thank you for the obedience of the leadership of this house. So, Father, I pray that whoever hears this word today or in the future, that it will fall on good ground and it will bring forth a massive harvest for the kingdom. So I thank you and I praise you in Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. The renewed mind. So when we look at this definition of renewed, and we will be coming out of Romans 12, but we're going to get there, okay? So, the Strong's defines this word as a renewal or a renovation or a complete change for the better. So, when it comes to that complete change for the better, this is a work that the Holy Spirit is going to do through us as we learn and grow in the knowledge of Jehovah and his word. So I have a question. How does Jehovah communicate with you? We know that Apostle did a series on how to hear from God. If you've been through the discipleship class in the very first section, that is one of the very first questions that is covered, to learn to identify how Father talks to you. Because he doesn't have one way of communicating with his people. He knows each and every one of us, and he knows how to get our attention. He knows how to make us listen to him. So how does Jehovah communicate with you? Well, Father has blessed me with the way, one of the main ways that he communicates with me is through my dreams. And as we go through this teaching, there is going to come a moment where I'm going to actually share what Father shared with me concerning my dream. But before we get there, just in case in the future or someone listening now, I know that when I was a part of the, you know, Sunday worship church, dreams were dismissed a lot. They were seen as irrelevant. But I want you to understand that Father still is the same today, yesterday, forevermore. It never changes. So one of the points I want us to kind of ponder here is that there, throughout scripture, there is 21 dreams recorded. And the book of Genesis happens to have 10 of them alone. Now, I just want to share this little moment with y'all. When I submitted the PowerPoint presentation, I had 140 slides, y'all. Sharon quickly called me and said, well, you know, you're going to have to kind of cut this down a little bit. And the only reason why, I'm telling you, I had 140 slides because I really wanted everybody to see. But of the 140, unfortunately, I had to cut out some. So I'm just going to read real quick through some of the dreams. I'm not going to give you the details. I'm just going to give you the scripture address. And it could be a homework assignment. Go check it out. Okay? So in the book of Genesis, starting at Genesis 20, you have the dream of Abimelech and how he was warned about Sarah. And Genesis 28, 12, you have Jacob's ladder. And Genesis 31, 10, and 11, you have Jacob returned to the land of his father. Genesis 31 and 24, you have Laban was warned not to bless or curse Jacob as he headed home. Now the next two dreams, which is dream 5 and 6, is in Genesis 37, 1 through 10. And that's Joseph's dream about the grain and how the sun, moon, and stars was going to bow down to him. Dream 7 and 8 was Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker. That's in Genesis 40. And dream 9 and 10 is Pharaoh's dream about the cows and the stalks. That was in Genesis 41. Dream 11, the runaway barley and Gideon and the Midianites. That's in Judges 7, 13, and 14. Dream 12, Solomon's blank check in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15. Dream 14, Nebuchadnezzar statue. That's in Daniel 2. 14, Nebuchadnezzar's tree. Daniel 4. Dream 15, Daniel's beast in Daniel 7. Dreams 16 through 20, these five dreams surround Yeshua's birth. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through chapter 2 and 20 to verse 23. So Joseph gets the message from the angel that the child that Mary is carrying is the Savior. The Magi Jehovah tells the wise men in a dream to avoid King Herod. Joseph's warning. Jehovah warns Joseph to take Mary and Yeshua to Egypt. Returns, and then he gets another dream to return to Nazareth. But he tells Joseph not to go towards Judea because Herod's son was still in charge there. And then dream 21 is Pilate's wife. Nightmare in Matthew 27 and 19. Now, I'm sharing all of this because if I can find it in scripture, then I know that it's real. Okay? My dream. Several years before I even knew what Hebrew Roots of the Faith was, or Arthur Bailey Ministry or anything, I was still a minister, teacher, singer, doing everything that I thought that I was doing to the glory of God. And Father gave me a series of dreams. And each dream linked to the next dream. The dream that I want to share with you is this one. Now, the picture that you're seeing on the screen, I put this up there for the young people who probably never seen something like this. This is a potbelly stove. For people like me who grew up in a home that this was our source of heat, this was our source of heat. My brothers had to build a fire and they had the coal bin and all of that good stuff. Yeah, this was our source of heat in the home that I grew up in. But this is a potbelly stove, and you'll see how it makes, how it works in the dream. So in the dream, I was standing in front of a potbelly stove. Now, this potbelly stove was from ceiling to floor. It was huge. And in or coming from within this potbelly stove, I heard the voices of men and women preaching. The voices were muffled, so I really couldn't understand the words that they were saying, but I could clearly identify who they were. I heard the voices of past pastors and bishops and teachers, Sunday school teachers, VBS teachers, anyone who had any influence on my life throughout my years in the church. I heard all these voices, not just people in my personal life. There were voices of the famous people that preach, you know, on television. I heard all these voices coming from within this furnace. Then the furnace turned cherry red and then ash white, kind of like what charcoals look like on a grill after they burn, kind of burned out. They're just that ash white. And on the front of the furnace appeared the word whitewash. I was startled when I saw that word. So I woke up, and on the nightstand next to my bed, I have a Bible. I grabbed that Bible, and I started going through the Bible. I kept looking for the word whitewash. Because even though I had heard the word before, the fact that it showed up in this dream the way it showed up, I knew that Father was trying to tell me something. Now, I had this dream years ago. I mean, years ago. I have been with Arthur Bailey Ministries for 10 years. So that's how long ago I had the dream. I had it before I knew who Arthur Bailey was. So I looked over the years for the meaning of this dream. Whitewash. Now, the King James translates this word, to the following. It's untempered and foolish. Unsavory. The word whitewash appears in the Bible in the context of untempered mortar in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 through 16, and also in 22 and 28. It refers to a false finish or covering used to deceive or mislead people. As I continue on looking at these scriptures in Ezekiel, I began to understand why Father had given me the dream and also how it ties together here. So Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. Because they have led my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who covered it with whitewash that it's going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the walls collapse, will people not ask you, where's the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Jehovah says. In my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind. And in my anger, hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the walls you have covered with whitewash. And I will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am Jehovah. Now, I know that sounds like really strong. And as Father was giving me this word, I kept saying, well, Father, I'm not really understanding. But he began to give me more understanding. He said, he let me know that Ezekiel is using this practice to templify that false prophet. They build up stories. They kind of make them sound so good and plausible. It kind of really resembles the truth. But the fact is that it's flimsy. It's unreliable. And it can be torn apart with a push or a rainstorm. It gives people a watered down version of the gospel and a false sense of security. The Bible, in Bible times, when they would build houses, and where this whitewash comes from, is that they would just stack bricks on top of each other, no mortar between them or nothing, and then they would just put this whitewash on the top of it. So anybody that's in construction know that if the foundation isn't strong, it doesn't take much to knock it down. So we got to look at it the way Jehovah is trying to get us to see it. Okay. In Lamentations 2 and 14, this is whitewashed, same word in the Hebrew, but it's now being used as foolish. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity, to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes for banishment. Now, I want to look at this word uncover, because one of the things that Father showed me is that today, when you really look at the big picture and the big scheme of things, there is nothing more nominalized or minimized than faith in God, as the world would say. We have people every day on the internet making absolute foolishness out of the gospel. Foolishness. Some of the things that you hear and you see on social media today, when it comes, this is why the world has nothing to do with it. They see the flimsiness. They see the whitewash. This generation today they are the ones that's going to ask the questions that we never asked. So when you are talking about this false prophet that's standing there, the main focus or our assignment is to get Jehovah's people back in line with him. But if you're a false prophet, you're never going to make known or reveal to them their iniquities. You're going to give them the feel good, hallelujah, jump around, you know, yeah, didn't we have church today type sermon, because you're not willing to say what thus says Jehovah when it comes to the people who say they love Jehovah. See, the iniquity that is just so blatant today, where you have preachers on the internet. This week, I saw a preacher on the internet. He's preaching last Sunday in his church, and he's talking about the woes of this world and everything that's going on in Washington and all that stuff. And he said, you know, we get into the point where we, you know, we're sick and tired. You know, yeah, I'm that type of Christian that will pray for you and cuss you out in the next. And I'm like, really? And the whole church is, really? But he said it with such conviction. And what he's doing is he's feeding into the frenzy. He's feeding into the frenzy. Because as you walk around today, whether you're in the market or you could be just minding your business, taking a walk. You can feel it in the air. People are looking for a reason to go off. You can accidentally bump somebody and they'll look at you like, you know, and you're like, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, you know, people are looking for a reason. They're angry. But most of it is fear. Because they don't have the peace that comes with knowing the God of the universe. They don't understand what we understand about Jehovah. And it is clear that it has infiltrated religion across the board. Anytime you got pastors talking about they're going to cuss you out after they pray for you. Wow. This is that false prophet that will not uncover the iniquity of the people. They won't tell them that that is inappropriate. They won't say, well, you know, I shouldn't be able to see your heartbeat through that dress. You know, I shouldn't be able to find out just how many muscles you have through that shirt, brother. They won't tell the children that it is inappropriate to speak to your parents that way. They won't say it. And that's mainly when it comes to the children, because the parents will probably cuss them out. But that's another story. Iniquity is probably the condition is one that's without law, either because you're ignorant of it or because you're violating it. And when Jehovah showed me this, he gave me a really up close and personal encounter with it, because some years ago, you know, I used to go to a church in Delaware, and I lived in Philadelphia at the time, and I was on my way home from church, and this time, honestly, I wasn't speeding. I wasn't. I saw the trooper, so I wasn't speeding. So I went by at the speed limit. You know how you do when the troopers are around. You act right, right? Okay. So, however, the trooper pulled me over anyway. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, what are you pulling me over for? I ain't breaking no laws to my knowing. So he came over and he asked for my license and registration and insurance. You know, I gave it to him. He said, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, no, officer, I really don't know. And he said, in the state of Delaware, it is illegal to have a plastic cover over your license plate. But in PA, it was okay. Now, I am a resident of Pennsylvania. I am passing through Delaware. But this is the law. And he had every right to enforce it. So I said, okay. So he wrote the ticket. I went to court, you know. And when the judge asked, you know, told me why I would, you know, read the thing, I said, okay, you know. And so then I said, Your Honor, I wasn't aware that that was the law. And that famous quote came out. Ignorance of the law does not excuse you from the law. It's the same thing with Jehovah. Ignorance of his law does not excuse you from it. It is our responsibility to know what thus says Jehovah. It is not the responsibility of just the pastors, the teachers, and the prophets, and the apostles, and the events. It is not just our responsibility. Yes, we have a responsibility to teach when the opportunity presents itself, but we have our own personal relationship with Jehovah. So that if you are in violation of something that you're not sure that you're in violation of, if you get in his word, you will understand it and you can correct yourself. or, of course, just by violating it. Now, violating it to me seemed to be a little bit worse, because if I know it's the law and I violate it, then whatever punishment comes my way, I'm deserving of it. Because even though I went to court, the judge did have mercy. She only charged me the $42 court fee. Now, I could have gotten a whole lot more punishment, even though I was ignorant of that law. But if you are speeding and they pull you over, there's nothing you could do but take the ticket, because we have violated a law. It's the same thing with Jehovah. Now, in the Greek New, in the New Testament, you'll also see the word white. You'll find that term whitewash in Matthew 23, 27 through 28, and also in Acts 23, 1, 2, 3. Okay? So whitewash, simply put, the term is used metaphorically in the Bible to refer to a people or a group who attempt to make falsehood look like true. And when I think back to the dream and the fact that I only heard the voices of people who taught me the scriptures, or who were supposed to teach me the scriptures, is what made the dream like even more like in my face. Now, whitewash has its way of encountering us in so many different ways. How many years did we spend believing the doctrines of men? How many years did we celebrate Christmas? And how many years did we celebrate Easter? You know, which in the 90s, it kind of changed over to Resurrection Sunday, right? Okay, but, you know, but we all know that the foundation of it is Easter. Okay, how many years did we spend believing that it was true? And then, what was your reaction? What was the thoughts that went through your head when you found out that it wasn't? I shared with my brothers a couple weeks ago that it took me about a good month and a half to accept the fact that I was an idolater. I said, now how many times did I stand and preach? Idolaters will not see the kingdom. And I was the biggest idolater in the room. You know, I was like, it took a while to sink in that the things that we thought was true, that whitewash that covered this flimsy wall behind it, that only took a little time to sit and listen. And then do some research on your own. Search the scriptures and find out what, if it's really saying, what is coming out of the mouths of these preachers. The common denominator is whitewash. Now, the renewed mind must understand that the mind refers to the thought and the feelings and the precepts and the consciousness. The mind is an abstract. It alludes to the person's morality and reasoning and understanding. And the reason why Father was showing me this, he says, because we have this saying like, oh, I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it. You know, when we don't understand something, we say we want to wrap our brain around it. No, you're not trying to wrap your brain around it. You're trying to wrap your mind around it. And there is a difference. Because if the brain malfunctions, you can go to a neural doctor. They can go in there and dig it out. But when the mind is malfunctioning, this is something that can only be corrected by the word of Jehovah. And our willingness and ability to change. So understand that there is a difference. I'm not trying to wrap my mind around nothing. The mind is just an organ. And yes, it has its function. The brain has its function and it's there. Father put it there for a reason. But understand that Father is saying with the renewed mind, even the words that come out of your mouth, you must understand. You're not trying to wrap your brain around nothing. What you're trying to do is justify or find a way that you understand something that you disagree with. And that's what you're really trying to do. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Jehovah, which is your reasonable service. When we think about the renewed mind and some of the things that happened before we began to surrender to what Jehovah is saying to us, we come from backgrounds all over. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and then I eventually went to a Baptist church. And then I went from one Baptist church to another Baptist church, and then I eventually ended up in a non-denominational church. And what I found is that whitewash changes from church to church. When I was Pentecostal, you had to prove that I was saved, I had to speak in tongues. And I remember as a teenager, I was like 13, 14 years old, and one of our friends that grew up in church with us, unfortunately, was murdered. And we were at the funeral, and I was just like so afraid, because I was like, what if that was me? I knew I wasn't saved. I was like, I'm gonna go to hell if I don't, you know, if I don't get saved. So they had an altar call. I went to the altar, and I'm kneeling, and I told them I want to be saved. I don't want to, you know. And so then they just told me, say the Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now I'm down there. I know more than an hour, and nothing was happening. I had said Jesus, 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 to the point that I don't even know if I was even saying Jesus anymore after a while. And I just remember my mother was standing next to me. I remember looking at my mother and said, I guess I'm going to hell. And I got up and I went and I sat on the, I was so frustrated, because salvation shouldn't be this hard. You know, if it's free, why, you know, but that was the doctrine of the church. That was the whitewash. And in the Baptist church I went to, no Holy Spirit, you know. You don't speak in tongues here. You know, you don't do all that here. And now I'm in a non-denominational church where everything go. All this whitewash is in our lives, and it's blocking, in some cases, the will of the Father for us. Because I don't know about you, as I went through the discipleship course, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, he was tearing down this whitewash as I went through it. I know that there is times where people come to the mic and talk about what the discipleship class, but I look at the discipleship class as a mandatory curriculum for anyone who loves Jehovah. It is not an option. If you're going to get to the point where Jehovah can use you today, there has got to be some discipline in our lives. There's got to be a willingness to change. We can't just think that Jehovah's going to change his mind just because we won't change ours. No, it's not going to happen that way. Whitewash. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Jehovah. So anybody that's been, you know, with us here at HOI, or if it's your first time watching, welcome. But anytime we are talking about the scriptures, we have to kind of set a little foundation. So the book of Romans, or the letter to the Romans, we have our set. We know who, we need to know who wrote this letter. Now, anybody that has a Bible, or even if you have never been in church, they know, somebody knows something about Paul. Okay? And Paul is accredited as to writing Romans. There is no dispute on that. But in Romans 16:22, Paul dictated the letter, or this epistle, to Tertius. Okay? It was written. Who was it written to? The apostle identifies the recipients in Romans 1 and 7. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by Jehovah and called to be saints. When it was written, approximately AD 57. Now, why it was written. Now, Paul wrote the letter to introduce himself and announce his coming. Paul wanted to impart spiritual gifts and preach the gospel. Paul wanted to, he covered the gospel of the kingdom. He covered spiritual gifts, justification, salvation, the importance of endurance, the law, grace. I mean, Paul covered everything in the book of Romans. But what I like about the book of Romans versus like Corinthians versus 2 Corinthians is that Paul seemed to have a free hand in writing the book of Romans. Because like in 1 and 2 Corinthians, these letters were answering questions or dealing with situations. But the book of Romans doesn't seem to indicate that. It seems like Paul was able to just write the big picture down about the doctrine of salvation. He wrote that they would have a clear understanding of the gospel of Messiah. So when we look at the book of Romans, all from chapter 1 to chapter 11, Paul is laying all of this stuff out. By the time he gets to chapter 12, he kind of pivots a little bit because now he's more on the application side of it. He's now saying to the believers, based on everything from chapter 1 through 11. So if you haven't read chapter 1 to 11, you may not understand why at this point Paul is saying, I beseech you, therefore. So I just suggest you do a little quick read and read 1 through 11. Because he's now beginning to get to practical application. Paul is saying, I understand at this point, after reading everything from chapter 1 through chapter 11, that you may have questions. You may, on the inward side, have a war going on. That old man and that new man might be tugging with each other. Your mind, your will, your emotions are fighting with years of traditions taught to you by men, made by men. It is for this reason, Father is saying through the Apostle Paul, that I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Sharon cut up over here. Okay. So one of the things that you learn, I'm going to be referencing the discipleship class. Let me tell you, it's a life-changing book, okay? Course, okay? So if y'all think I ain't getting paid, Arthur ain't gave me no money, okay? I just want y'all to understand that it changed my life. And I'm going through it again and again and again because we all know the renewing of the mind is a lifelong process. So over and over again, you will hear me reference the discipleship program. So in the discipleship program, one of the things that we are taught is not to assume that we understand what a word means. Because we are in a time where, you know, we just breeze over words because we assume we know what they mean. Okay. So when we get to Romans 12, chapter 1, it tells us that I beseech you, therefore, and it's a comma. Now, I know the original text don't have commas in it. Okay. But this one does. Okay. So Paul is saying, wait a minute. I beseech you, therefore. So when you look up the therefore, because I used to have a pastor that said you got to know what the therefore is there for. Okay. 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 Therefore, in the Greek, the Strong's Greek word here is a conjunction that indicates that something follows from another primary force to confirm it or continue it. So when Paul gets to chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I'm begging you, therefore. Therefore, meaning everything that happened from 1 to 11 Okay? We have to understand that therefore it means because of that, or for this reason, or as a result of chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all the way up to 11. This is what Paul is saying. The letter connects. And if you don't read the first part, then you don't understand this part. Okay? So because of that, so you ask the question, because of what? Because Jehovah called you by name. So now it needs to get personal. Because a lot of times when we read the scriptures, we separate ourselves because, okay, well, Paul wasn't necessarily talking to me. Okay, well, he is talking to each and every one of us, okay, at this point. Because he called you by name. In Romans 1:1, Paul, I, a servant of Yeshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Jehovah. Now, in the book of Acts, you will find the moment that Paul's life was changed on the Damascus road, right? So when Father called Paul on his way to Damascus, most of us know the story. He was on the horse. Father called. The light shined from heaven. But he fell off the horse. Father began. He began with Saul, Saul. We don't serve a generic God. He's not like today when someone wants your attention. For me, it's, hey, shorty. My mother didn't name me Shorty, so I don't answer to Shorty. Okay? Oh, hey, bruh. Yo, sis. And this is something that has been a little bit of a pet peeve of mine for most of my life. Because years ago, I was 15, okay? And that was a long time ago, okay? But I just want to share this. This is just something that I just got to share it, okay? I'm on my way to school. 15, you know, on my way to high school. And my neighbor, who is now my husband, who is a couple years older than me, he used to work the third shift. So he would come, when I'm leaving out to go to school, he was coming home from work. So this particular morning, it's pouring down rain, and, you know, I'm rushing to the bus so I don't miss the bus, right? And I hear him. I'm the only person out there. It's 6-something in the morning. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. I kept walking. So because I kept walking, he runs down and catches up with me and stops me. Hey, girl, one day you gonna be my wife. You don't even know my name. And then he introduces himself, and I introduce myself like that. And I said, well, okay. Now, it wasn't that I didn't know him. We were right across the street from each other. But at the same time, don't call me a girl. My mama gave me a name. Okay? So, fast forward. We're married now for 26 years. So, I guess he prophesied correctly. But just like that, Father is not going to call you Shorty. He's not going to call you bruh. He's not going to call you sis. He's going to say, Aaliyah, Aaliyah. He's going to say, Sarepta, Sarepta. He's going to say, Sharon, Sharon. Arthur, Arthur. He's going to call you by your name. And I hope you understand the significance of that. Because it is billions of people on this planet. But he's calling us by our names. That is a significant thing. Okay, Father is trying to get us to see that, yeah, I'm paying close attention to you because I've called you. But I need some things to change. So I'm challenging you because I've called you by name. And as a result of your calling, we must know and teach the gospel of the kingdom. Teach the gospel of the kingdom minus the doctrines and traditions of men that make the gospel appear weak and without power. See, I believe that the reason why things are so loud in religion is because nothing's working. So I can scream, come out of here! mad. I could do all of that. Get everybody riled up in their emotions. Because we know when our emotions start, everything else go out the window. Reason go out the window. Understanding goes out the window. Because now the flesh is being entertained. So as long as I can entertain your flesh, I don't have to worry about your spirit. I don't have to worry about your eternal soul because I got you all emotional. Then once I get you all emotional, I can take your money. For that reason, Paul is used by the Almighty to explain everything from chapter 1 through 11. And much more. We all know that Paul is accredited with writing most of the New Testament. But what calling has he assigned to us? That the whitewash and the tradition is blocking. So he says to present your body. Now when I got here, it says to bring before the public. To present a person for another to see or question. Now, when I got there, it was a moment for me because I remember when I first found this ministry and I was sitting watching a Sabbath service and Apostle was teaching. And then he said at the end of the service, you can ask questions, you know. So when it came to the Q&A portion, I really didn't expect a lot of questions because I was like, oh, people ain't going to ask no questions. Well, that particular one. The Q&A went longer than the sermon. And I was like, he's standing up there all that time answering all those questions? Oh, I like this. Because sometimes you learn more in the Q&A. Somebody asked the question that you at home watching online wish you was here to ask. So everybody don't do like I do sometimes. I'll text in a question. but the Q&A. So when it comes to presenting yourself, one of the things about standing here is that, yes, we are doing and being obedient to Jehovah. But I'm going to be honest. The Q&A section is more nerve-wracking to me than the study part. Okay, because y'all be coming out of pocket sometime. I remember when I first started following, like when I first started following, Apostle was in, had just started the Galatians study. We were still on Hill Road then, right? And this, and I'm just going to tell on myself, I wasn't delivered, y'all, okay, help me, okay? But Apostle had taught this awesome sermon. And then it was Q&A time. And at that time, we didn't have no mic over there, so I didn't know who was talking. But this gentleman got up, and he's challenging Apostle, saying, yeah, you're trying to demonize Paul, and this is that and the other. I looked at my husband. I said, see, I should be there. I should be there. Who are they? They disrespectful. You know, my husband's like, and what you going to do that Arthur King can handle? I was like, but Q&A, look, y'all really, y'all be out of pocket sometimes, okay? But it's okay because the purpose of the Q&A session is for clarity. You don't get that in religion. You hear a word, you go home, you come in confused as a bowl of yak, you go home confused as a bowl of yak. But at least you have an opportunity to ask the question. And what Father is saying, if you want a yielded vessel, someone, a renewed mind, understands that the teacher doesn't have all the answers. That's why we learn and grow from each other. So during the Q&A session today, if you ask me something I don't know, I don't know. But maybe somebody else does. Because you learn and you grow together. So you want to present that person, you want to before people, to show, to bring one into an intimate fellowship. Now, it's something how after service and the cameras is off and we're all sitting here, we're munching and fellowshipping and sharing what we learned in the word. This is that intimate fellowship. There is times just because Jehovah did not call you here didn't mean he didn't call you there. There is sometimes that wisdom hit my ears sitting at this table that didn't come across this desk. So we have to understand that that is the renewed mind. The renewed mind understands that. 11 sacrifice. This was the hardest part because the living, I mean, come on, when you think about it, if something is sacrificed, when they slit the throat of the goat, the bull, it ceased to exist. And that's one of the hardest part of the renewed mind. Because we are still human. We still have emotions. But we got to learn to keep them in check and under the control of the Holy Spirit, because you will have people come at you. You're going to have people that's going to try you. But we have to understand that we're giving up that for the sake of Jehovah and others. So someone might say something to you, and in your flesh, you want to cold cock them. You know it. There was a day. But when we understand as a renewed, with that renewed mind, that we can't do that. Because the very time you do it, somebody with a cell phone camera going to blast it all over social media. Mm-hmm. Hebrew Roots Minister. Cold cock person in Walmart. Story at 11. You know, they're not going to tell the whole story. They're just going to show you cold cocking somebody. And they're going to make sure, oh, really? She a minister? We're at House of Israel? Ain't going to have Arthur come to Jersey after me. Okay, wrong answer. Okay, so we got to understand that the living sacrifice, you have to cease to exist. Sometimes you just got to take it on the chin. And it's not easy. And it hurts. And you cry. But Jehovah hears you. And he handles it. Oh, much, much, much more better than what we would have done. See, that living sacrifice is you're representing obedience, humility, and atonement. You're serving as a bridge between humanity and the divine. So if you're the human sacrifice and someone is challenging you, and you just take it on the chin, Jehovah's like, I got that. Don't worry about it. Because you're ceasing to exist. He remembers. He's like, yeah, I can trust you with more now. Because you're ceasing to exist. You're not that important anymore. The gospel of the kingdom is more important than my feelings. The gospel of the kingdom is more important than what I might look like in the eyes of others. The gospel of the kingdom is more important than what people think about me. Because I'm only concerned with serving and pleasing my Father in heaven. Holy, pure of carnality, chaste, innocent, faithful, virtuous, modest. I want to look at this word carnality, because carnality is a biblical word that's not really used that much anymore. You know, we're so busy trying to be PC, you know. But it has a powerful effect on life. It means living life consumed by satisfying fleshly desires, feeding selfishness, while serving the body and starving the soul. So when we think about it, this is not what we want as our bio. We understand that it might be a little painful to be a living sacrifice, but I definitely don't want to be in the line of being carnal. Now, modest. I like this word because it has the idea of a quiet reserve. A reserved person may not share information when it's not meaningful. It really should be not meaningful. The reserved person, they sometimes are perceived as being shy, but reserved people think before they talk. They evaluate the situation. They listen to hear what people are saying, what they're not saying. They're reading between the lines so that when they share whatever they're going to share, it has impact. They don't always have to be heard. And today we're in a time where everybody want to be heard. I want to tell you this, and I want to tell you that. Okay, I'm listening. But what she's saying has no effect on the kingdom. We have to understand that being that quiet reserve is an awesome thing. Acceptable, well-pleasing unto Jehovah. Reasonable, based on excellent reasoning, information, judgment, and grounds. The reserved mind must begin to ask questions, especially when faced with something that doesn't make common sense. Good Friday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Now, when Jehovah gave me this word, like I said, it was back in November. And it wasn't really until as the new year came in, our biblical new year came in, that I realized that this day, you know, that we're in that season. And so when I was thinking about it as I was driving in today, and I was like, Father, your timing is perfect. Look at that. I didn't even realize it. But he did it for a reason. Because one of the instructions that he gave me when I was going through this study, he gave me the instruction that I was to reach out to certain people in my life and invite them to listen to this message. All I can say is I was obedient. Okay. So when we look at this Good Friday, Resurrection Easter Sunday doctrine, we have to, at this point, look at it. Does it make sense? Messiah said, now these are Messiah's words. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, to those of us that's been around a minute, we understand this, but there's some people that don't understand this. I don't understand how a college-educated PhD person can't count three. I don't understand, because I would venture to think that most children by the age of one can count to three. And no matter how you add it up, whether you do 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 or 1 + 2 = 3, it's three. And when I first did the PowerPoint, I had this particular verse. I had it in bold red, but I was like, oh, that might be a little hard on the eyes on the camera. So I turned it back white because I wanted to emphasize that this is what Yeshua said. Matthew didn't say it. Matthew may have recorded it, but these are Yeshua's words. So if Yeshua said he's going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and 3 days and 3 nights does not change, I don't understand it. Then Luke gives us, well, all of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the timeline, that it was about 6 hours, and then it was darkness over the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. Okay, so we now understand that Yeshua said 3 days and 3 nights he would be in the earth. And we now understand that at the time that Yeshua gave up the ghost, that it was before sunset. Okay, so let's take a look at it. Good Friday. Just about sunset, Yeshua was buried. Okay? So from just about sunset Friday to just about sunset Saturday, we got one day, right? 24 hours, right? So just about sunset Saturday to just about sunset Sunday, we missing some days. The math ain't mathing, people. The renewed mind asks the question. And the last time that I spoke in a church, I taught this. I had to leave shortly after that, but I did teach this. And several of the people in the congregation came to me after service and said, I always wondered why that didn't add up. You know, these were educated people. One of them was a doctor. And she said, I just figured it didn't make a difference. I've heard people say, oh, you're just majoring in the minors. The resurrection is a minor. Okay. Okay, my slide's not here. It's not here. Okay, I wanted to do it anyway. I had another slide. I don't know what happened to it. It's not there. Anywho, this is the timeline. This was the timeline of from Yeshua's burial to the time that he rose. Now, we all know that the scripture tells us that the Jews' Sabbath was near, and everybody assumed that it was the Saturday Sabbath, but we all know that it wasn't. So Yeshua was actually buried around Wednesday. So when you count up from there, you get your 3 days. I don't understand why it does not add up all the years that I was in the church. But I now know and identify the whitewash. I now know that in the dream, Father was telling me that the things that was foundational for me was built on a foundation that is getting ready to be laid bare. It is time for those of us that Jehovah has called by name to do what he's called us to do. The gospel of the kingdom has to go forward. It has to be heralded by those of us who he has given that assignment to. Your assignment may not be as a preacher. Your assignment may be as a teacher. You might teach children. You might teach elderly. You may be a street person. I don't know your assignment. Only you know your assignment. But it is now time. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Jehovah. Now, the conforming part is the mind. It's that character. A lot of times I even catch myself when there is something that the world has coined as a saying, you know, and it may not even make sense. And you find yourself using that saying. And Jehovah has been correcting me every time I even fix my lips to say stuff. You know, he was like, didn't we just talk about that? And I snatch it back, because the renewing of the mind, again, is a lifelong process. But it has to start with an acknowledgement that change must happen. I used to love to binge watch stuff. You know, I like to watch, everybody know I like Law and Order, you know, and I like NCIS. I like the cop movies, okay? And there was days that I was like, I'm just going to veg out, and I'm going to binge watch. And I'm binge watching. And Father brought that back to me. He said, how many hours did you spend binge watching? There was one day that I literally started at like 10 o'clock in the morning and I finished at 10 o'clock at night. All day long, I was binge watching. And Father said, this mindset has to change. The time that you're using to binge watch, you can use it to study me. You can get to know me better. I understand that desire to just kind of not want to think. But that's a dangerous desire. That's a dangerous desire. Oh, I just want to veg out. I just want to be. Why can't you close your mind off? Pastor Marcus talked about that this morning. I was listening to him. Pastor Marcus talked about that this morning, that people have to take mental health days because they can't turn their mind off. If you can't turn your mind off, you have to start asking yourself, why? Why can't I turn my mind off? Is something more important than the gospel of the kingdom? Is whitewash blocking what Jehovah has called me to do? That sign threw me off, y'all. I'm sorry. Sherry told me he was going to get me. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Okay, I really am past all of this. Okay. Proverbs 16:19 says, here is the six things God hates. And one more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant. A tongue that lies. Hands that murder the innocent. A heart that hatches evil plots. Feet that race down a wicked track. A mouth that lies under oath. And a troublemaker in the family. Woo! I was going to use the King James version of this, but I just like this version better. This version just kind of puts it where it lives. Especially that last one, the troublemaker in the family. We can't be the troublemaker in the family. We have to be the reconciler in the family. We can't be the one when the family gets together and you actually show up for the gathering. We can't be the source of the contention. We have to bring the peace. We have to bring the harmony. We have to represent Jehovah so that people will look at you and say, what is going on? Wow, I remember when, but now look at what. And then you get that opportunity to get Jehovah's word in there. And say, yeah, but it's through the word of Jehovah that you see this transformation in my life. I'm no longer conforming to what the world says it's okay. Just because the world say it's okay to walk around with your stuff hanging out, Jehovah say it's not. Just because, oh, it's supposed to make you feel good, it really don't make you feel good. It really makes you feel less, because when you walk around like that, you get the response that is disrespectful. So when we talk about transformation, in both terms, transformation and transfiguration, they both deal with change and transformation, a broader and a more inclusive, whereas transformation is often profound and deeper and spiritual, or transfiguration. So as we consider what Jehovah is saying, we're understanding that this is Jehovah's call for us to transform into his image, so that the profound and the deeper and the spiritual things that we desire to know about him and his word will be able to be illuminated to us. The renewing and the renovation is there for the better. The mind, the intellect, it's all about understanding. Wisdom, Proverbs 4:7 tells us wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, you gotta understand that if you don't, you'll never get the wisdom if you don't understand. So you get the knowledge or the information from the discipleship class, the leadership class, the minister's training class. And then once you get that information and you understand it and comprehend it and learn, then you can apply it first to self, then to others. So when you think about what the proverb is telling us, look, he said, you get wisdom. But wisdom without understanding is ineffective. You have to understand what it is that Jehovah is saying, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Jehovah. To prove, to test it, to recognize it as genuine, examine it, to approve it. Good, useful. So I want to leave you with this one thought. This is a story that I heard years ago, and it really impacted me a lot. I just want to share it real quick. This is not a true story, so don't go looking for it. Okay? It's more like a parable. It has a point. There was a king sitting on his throne during the daily administration. And people would come before the king and they would make their case. Now, this king was known for being very strict. He stuck to the law. He didn't deviate from it. So when the people came up, and if their case broke the law, he gave them their punishment, sent them on their way. The next person, same thing. Then there was this young man, and he was kind of like just swagging around in the background, you know, and the king happened to notice him. So when he came before the king, and before they read his case to the king said, "Straighten up your hair. Button up your shirt. Pull up your pants. You're standing before the king." So the young man did all of that. Now he's nervous because now the king is getting on him. So they read the charges against the young man. And the young man is still standing there like most young people today, kind of, you know, swagging around like, you know. So then the king said, "What's your name?" And he said, "George. Like yours." So the king said, "George, either change your name or change your behavior. You will not walk around with my name acting like that." This is what Jehovah is saying. Change your behavior or change your name. You're no longer going to walk around with my name acting like that. We got to understand that whitewash can infiltrate anything. And I believe that what Jehovah is saying to me, to say to you today, that whitewash can infiltrate the Hebrew roots as well. We don't celebrate Easter and Christmas and all of that stuff until Jehovah be the glory. But we cannot entertain the doctrines of men when it comes to the feast days of Jehovah either. I have never seen so much confusion around the beginning of this year. The nonsense that I saw on social media, it was almost equal to what I see across the board with religion. Jehovah said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. And when you get to that point, when you get to that point in your renewed mind, that if Jehovah said it, regardless to what the world may say, regardless to what friends, family, whoever may say, and as long as I am staying in line with Jehovah, then I can come before him boldly, make my petition known. And he is going to answer because he said, "You changed your behavior. Now you can use my name." This is what Jehovah is saying to us. We can no longer, as he gave our sister, he's not winking anymore. He told Brother Ronald, "Everybody ain't getting in, right, bro?" I'm sorry, Ronald, I shouldn't have called you bro. He gave us all the way back when Apostle was in Africa forward. He's been saying this. He's been sending the word through his men and women of what is coming down the pike. And he wants his people lined up with him. Come into the ark of safety. Drop your personal views. In the end, it won't mean a hill of beans. Because Jehovah's word is going to stand forever. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father. I thank you for everything that you've said and done today, Father. I pray that it falls on good ground. I pray that as your people, we heed and hear you. Father, I thank you for seeing the hearts of your people and understanding that we love you and we really want to line up. Father, I thank you for each and every person that has heard this today and even those in the future. Father, I pray that the whitewash that might be blocking the next step in our progress to in our walk with you will be identified. Speak to us through dreams, visions, your word, your men and women. Father, I pray that you send those Damascus Road experience to us. Knock us off the horse, Father, if necessary, that we may hear you and only you. I thank you, and I praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, your support is greatly appreciated and needed. We have several ways in which you can give online. We have Zelle, Zenmo, Cash App to make your donations. You can go online. These are the Cash App, Venmo, and Zelle identifications for HOI, House of Israel. We have text to give. You can mail it in. And for those of us who still are, for those who still use our actual check, you can. Oh, thank you. You can mail in your donations. Again, you got your text to give for your donating and the tithes and offering. That's the number. Hebrew Roots University. I love that. I'm not going to go there. I think that's the end of it. We can ask questions after the announcements, correct?
Said about, now that was Delaware, so that was a good story. So, oh, thank you. I'll take a pause. There we go. Like Minister Tamai was telling that good story about Delaware, so a little public service announcement for all my North Carolinian brethren. If you're doing 80 and a 55 and you tell the officer it was only because she was doing 29 miles an hour, it don't cut it. Mm-hmm. If you cross the two yellow lines while doing that, that don't cut it either. Mm-hmm. But you know, what was nice and being blessed by our Father is that when you got a humble spirit and the officer looks at you and says, you know, I'm not here just to give a ticket. I'm here to learn, to train you. So he goes back to his patrol car and comes back with a sheet of papers. They must have printers in these patrol cars now. I didn't know that. And believe it or not, in North Carolina, it's against the law to have anything over your license plate. Wow. And of course, I had a tinted or smoked little plastic cover. And he said, but I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm just going to give you a warning. He said, but we'll never pull you over for a clear cover.
This is way too high.
He said, unless you're doing something else. So I just wanted to share that. Just, it is against the law in the state of North Carolina to have anything over your license plate. There, now you know. See, knowing is half the battle. All right, our early feast dates. Whew, here we go. For everybody that really wants to know all this stuff and hasn't got it down pat yet, Passover. Passover is tomorrow, yes. April 13th. All right. Yeah, I like that one, too. So,
yay.
Our meal is at 6 p.m., followed immediately by service at 7 p.m. And don't forget, Marketplace is open tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. First day of unleavened bread is the very next day, Monday, April 14th. And the seventh day of unleavened bread is Sunday, April the 20th, not Easter. Both days, we'll have brunch at 11 a.m. with service starting at 1 p.m. And for advance notice, Pentecost is June the 8th. Pentecost is always on a Sunday, so plan for that accordingly. So please, RSVP at arthurbaileyministries.com. If you go to Feast, you'll see all the RSVPs, or from the banner that you'll get in the emails if you're signed up to receive emails. Also, don't forget to check out our early Feast Schedule of Events calendar. That's also on arthurbaileyministries.com. It shows you all the dates and the times for services, the meetings, the workshops, as well as Marketplace. Hey, you also heard Minister Tamai mention Discipleship 101, Leadership, Ministers Training. If you want to know more information, go to arthurbaileyministries.com. Under the watch at the top of the toolbar, Academic Trainings by Arthur, and then you'll see all three of those listed. You can get more information there. Speaking of workshops, if you're interested in attending any of the workshops or would like more information, please use the Contact Us form, or if you're already here, use the Contact Sharon form. Remember that the number of participants, we have to be limited just due to supplies, seating, and so on. Okay. Also, it's been brought to my attention that, you know, we have a lot of new people, people that may be new here, new online. And there's this thing, if you're like, man, I can't come to Charlotte every Sabbath, that's too far away. Well, we have this thing called the Fellowship Locator. Mm. And if you haven't used it, just make sure at least that your information's there so other interested brethren can find somebody and maybe, you know, get together, you know, and have communion, have fellowship, and learn together. And to access the Fellowship Locator, you got to have the secret decoder ring. It's, no, I'm kidding. It's on arthurbaileyministries.com. If you look at the toolbar, click on About, and then there's the Fellowship Locator right there. You can search by name. You can search by zip code. You can give a radius of how far you're willing to travel, and it'll show you, as long as they've signed up or put their information in, where the fellow brethren are. And with that, shalom on this fine Shabbat.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I'm Brother George Ray from New Mexico, USA. There were a couple of things that, Father, put on my heart to come up and speak about today. And you touched both of them. So I was like, wow. And one thing I spoke to Brother Winston about yesterday, and then the other thing I confirmed with Sister Sharon this morning, and asked them, would it be okay if I mentioned their name? And they said, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to leave it for the latter part because that's a little longer. But the first one was when you spoke about discipleship training, how much you get from it. Speaking to Brother Blessed in Nigeria, he said he was searching. He was out there. He had been part of different religions, and he was searching. And when he first went to House of Israel in Lagos, Apostle Ndubuisi gave him Messianic 101. And he said, man, this was eye-opener. He said, I read this, and that's one of the things when you sit with someone for 5 weeks and you're there, you commune and you fellowship with the brethren in the ecclesia, and you learn so much about another person. So they told me that the last week that I was going to be there, they said, we're going to have his ordination service, and we want you to pray over him on that day. So he did a teaching on faith on that particular day. And then the cameras cut out, so you guys didn't get to see it. So afterwards, we went up there, and we prayed over him, laid hands, and I said, now I need you to give that testimony that you gave me at that dinner table about how you took discipleship training. Brother Ndubuisi had already left now to go to Port Harcourt, and he was still in Lagos. And he said he had the keys to the facility, and he would go, and he would take the books, and he would read there, sometimes under just cell phone light because the power was off. And he's reading the books. He would take a picture of the pages, take tests. He'd have to write his own test out, take the test, and then submit it to Brother Ndubuisi. And then this is what he did the whole time to do discipleship training. And I said, I remember when there weren't books yet. And I said, I remember the whole process and how it all went. And when Apostle Bailey was saying we want to have these books printed so we could send them into prisons and libraries, I heard naysayers say, what do we need books for? It's all online. And over the years, Apostle would say, you know, we're used to our comfort zone that we have here in America, that we could just turn on the lights, we could just have the internet running. But out there, I'm out there and they're like, yeah, we have unlimited internet. And after like 4 days, the internet's off. And I said, what happened to the unlimited? They were like, yeah, we ran out. I said, but unlimited is 4 days? And, you know, so yeah, it's a whole nother process. And they have to keep, they don't just have it unlimited like that. They have to keep buying more megabytes and more megabytes and more megabytes. So those books are very valuable. And I say this for this reason, because if he could do it under those circumstances, we all can do it under, I guess you could say, American privilege, because there's so many things we have that they don't have out there. So that's one thing. There's been a call for people to help, because when Apostle went to Germany, he said he really realized that there's Christian commentary for the Bible. You have so much commentary, but there wasn't any Hebrew roots commentary. And so going through chapter by chapter, line by line, verse by verse, you're getting commentary, and you're not getting that whitewash. So there is a need for people to help. And I've heard the call put out, and last time we were here, we signed up for it, and we've been doing it. And in doing it, discipleship training, you said, like, that's one thing, and it took it to another level. When you're going through his teachings and you're trying to put it into book form, it takes you to another level, because you have to go line by line. What did the apostle mean here? Sometimes he has a certain vernacular that won't translate in Russian or German. And so you have to make it to where it can translate. So Cindy does all that, and then I do the proofreading. So then, but we have, there's books that are being put out, but there's a small team. And with more people on the team, it could help get this commentary out there a lot quicker and faster. And it will help you, because it will bless you and help you grow in the knowledge and word. And there's so many times that my wife's walking through and we have a teaching on. She's like, I was just covering this, you know, in the book. So Apostle might be teaching on something else that's a different subject, but he's just bringing in a nugget. And she's like, I was just covering this in what we're doing right now in Mark. Or I was just covering this. And so praise the Most High. So that was one thing right there. It was just tying in his testimony along with the brethren being able to help with the commentary. Because during that 12 hours of binge watching, you might have to take a pause, because you're like, I got to get back on this for at least 2 hours a day to do my part, because we have a team and I got to get this to the team. So you have to pause something in your day to make it happen for the team and for all the brethren that aren't there yet, that will be there when they get this literature and this commentary and these books, to help them understand. Because everybody doesn't have the streaming source like we have. So that was one thing. So praise the Father. The second thing was, I spoke to Brother Winston yesterday. We went to lunch yesterday, and I asked him, I said, can I mention, he had sent me a text when he came back from Nigeria. And I said, can I mention that text and mention you by name? Because otherwise I'll just mention it and wouldn't put anything. He said, feel free. I'm an open book. Feel free. So I said, all right. So I came this morning and asked Sister Sharon, I said, when you stood up here before and you spoke on this a few months back, but some people may have forgot. So is it okay if I bring this up? And she was like, oh, go for it. It's okay. And so, okay. Several months back, she had said that her son had been incarcerated in Michigan. And she told the story behind it. And after she did, Father, like, impressed on my heart to write this young man. So I asked her, and I said, can I write your son in prison? And she was like, oh, sure. You know, she got me his information. She was like, thank you. So we've been in writing back and forth, having correspondence. Praise the Most High. So I'm in Nigeria. This is how Father works and connects things. I'm in Nigeria, and Brother Daniel Nagel, he writes a question in. So if you have a question, you think, maybe I shouldn't write this, you know, write your question. You never know who it's going to assist, who it's going to help, what it's going to push, what breakthrough is going to happen. So write your question, submit it, come up here and ask. You just never know. So he asks a question, and he says, so what happens if in America we lose our power grid? How are we going to still fellowship with Nigeria? And so someone from Nigeria gets up and gives an answer, because they always have a power struggle out there. So he gives the Nigerian answer. And then when he was done, I said, thank you for that. But I said, what brother was asking was about, like, if we had an EMP or something like that, or just something happened to make the grid go down, how would we still fellowship with and communicate with Nigeria? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked. And then I told him how I've been in communication with someone in prison right now. I said, we have to do like the disciples and the apostles. We have to write letters. Right. We're seeing letters right now. These are epistles. These are letters. Mm. I said, so we will continue writing letters. It might take a little while to get there, but we'll be in fellowship with them. And we can bless them and they can bless us. I said, so that's what we'd have to do. And then I gave the example of how I've been, you know, writing someone in prison. And then when Brother Winston got back from Nigeria himself, he sent me a text. He said, praise the Most High for you giving your testimony while you're out there. He said, I have a relative who's in prison, and my family have been telling me not to contact him. They just want money. They just want money. So he said, I have been going back and forth, like battling with that. And he said, when you gave that testimony out there and you mentioned writing someone in prison, it gave him that release. And he said, he wrote him in prison, went to Nigeria, came back. He said, when I got back, there was a letter there for me. He said, my relative is keeping Torah, keeping Sabbath, Torah in prison. And he said, so, praise the Father, hallelujah. So he said, thank you for that. So you never know what question you have is going to help somebody. Somebody had a question in Pennsylvania. I'm from New Mexico, via California, but I'm actually in Nigeria at the time, and I'm just answering something that someone asked, and then somebody who's not too far out of Chi-Town is having an issue, and then Father just moves all the way around. So you never know what your question is going to help, how it's going to help somebody else, how it's going to open a door. And then finding out this morning, I haven't even got this letter back from Brother Winston, but Sister Sharon said that her son is keeping Shabbat there, and he's trying to find out how he can get his meals without leaven in it during this time.
Wow.
So praise the Most High. He's working. Amen. He's working. So I'd like to thank you for your time and just say Shabbat Shalom to all.
Shabbat Shalom.
I just want to cut the line, Shabbat Shalom, right quick to let people know that the food is warm there in the back. And so if you want to avail yourself of a plate, please go back there and do that. Thanks so much. Hey.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
My name is Sheila. For those who do not know me, I'm from here in North Carolina, about 2 hours east of Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm seeing faces that I've seen before. I'm seeing faces that I've communicated with online. It's a blessing to be in the house of Jehovah, to see everybody and just share love and concern and all the other things that we have. Am I close enough now? Okay. Follow the mic. Okay. Sister Tamai, Minister Tamai, I know you're not a novice, but I know everybody needs encouragement. So I just wanted to say that the words that you gave today, they really encouraged me. They're on time words. There's something that we all need to hear. They're very important. It's a very important word because of the times that we're living in. The closer we get to the Messiah coming back, the more that word is going to be so pertinent in all of our lives. And so I just want to thank you for being obedient and submitting yourself to him so that he can speak to you and that you can hear him, so that you can give the word that he wants us to hear so that we can be prepared for him when he comes back for all of us. So thank you for that. I don't have a question, but I do have a testimony that goes along with what you taught on today. You were speaking about a lot of the things about being the renewing of the mind, and our mind needs to be renewed daily, especially in the time that we're living in now. There's so much going on. And if we don't come out of the world system and come out of the ways of the world, our mind will be just overwhelmed with the worldly things. So we have to stay in a place where our minds can be renewed. And the only way you can do it, as you said, is to just get in the word. And so I just wanted to come up and testify to the resources that House of Israel has.
Yes.
Starting off, the ones that are free. Discipleship 101.
Yeah.
That one, I started off with that one. When I first came into this way, I was a Christian for all my life, pretty much. I was born into it. And I grew up in it and went from church to church, different denominations, non-denominational, Pentecostal, Methodist, I mean, just like you were, and probably a lot of us, and got into the ministry, got licensed and ordained and all that. And I noticed, but I didn't know it then, but I noticed that once I got into the truth now, that there is a spirit of pride and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so enrooted and so ingrounded in it, I didn't even realize it. But there is a spirit of pride that comes with all of that, especially when you get licensed and you're ordained,
mm-hmm.
and they call you minister or prophetess or whatever mm-hmm. it is that your title is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spirit of pride that comes with that. And the sad thing is you're proud about something that's not even true. And so
that is the truth.
When I first came into it and I started learning, I got to the point where I just shut down. I humbled myself. And I just shut down. I said, I'm not going to say, I'm not even going to teach. I'm not going to tell nobody I'm licensed. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm ordained. Because that which I learned, I've been lied to. I mean, the things that I've learned are lies. I don't want to repeat these lies. I want to come in and I want to learn the right way. I want to learn what is true. And so even though it was in the scripture and I had the Bible all my life, but you listen to what the preachers tell you. You don't take the time to read it for yourself.
Right.
And so you get wrong information because you're just regurgitating wrong information. And so when I came into the truth and then I started going through Discipleship 101 and started listening to Arthur online on Sabbaths and switched from going from Sunday to the Sabbaths and just getting the truth. And it started to just tear up all that stuff that was like on the inside, just tear it up. And so as I was going through the lessons, Discipleship 101, and then I went through to, I took some notes, I don't miss anything. It was a leadership, and then the minister's classes, all of those are free. And I went through all of those, took all the little tests and everything, and I started feeling better. And I said, ooh, I feel a little cleaner now. I feel like something's lifted. I feel a little bit better. But I said, I still don't feel confident enough to even let anybody know that I'm a minister, to let anybody know. I don't even want to preach. I don't want to teach. I don't do nothing. I just humbled myself. And so when he first started, I can't remember the year, but when he first started talking about Hebrew Roots University, I said, oh my goodness. Ooh, I just got ignited. I said, I want to do that. And so I went, I didn't want to do theology because I didn't want to study God or didn't want to study Jehovah because I had already been living him. So I kind of like knew what the study of that part was, but they had the biblical studies. That's what I needed. I needed to know the truth about what the Bible was saying. Mm-hmm. So I took the biblical studies at Hebrew. Now, of course, you got to pay for that, folks. That's not free. But anyway, for those of you that have the extra income that want to go into that, you get into that, and that teaches you the word in a way that if you've been taught wrong, when you finish with that, you won't be wrong anymore. I mean, that is a deep study, and it takes you from the beginnings, and it takes you all the way through it, and it kind of like, it's like Drano. It just cleans out those pipes that have been clogged up. I mean, it cleans yes. you out, yes. and it makes you think different, that renewed mind. That's when renewed mind starts coming in. And so I went through that, and I got the degree, and I was happy about that and everything, but I still said, Father, I need to humble myself. I still want to learn more before I get out there and start, just sprewing stuff. So when he came out and said something about the, I forgot what you call it. But anyway, we got 50% off.
Yeah.
I said, ooh, opportunity. So I went ahead. I didn't want to go through theology because I have been doing that for pretty much in religion. And I didn't want to go through ministry because I have been through so many ministers' classes. So I didn't want to go through that. So I went ahead and went into divinity. Divinity changed my life.
Awesome.
Biblical studies did, but it was like a foundation. When I started going into divinity, let me just give you what divinity is for those that may not know. Divinity is the study of the state or quality of being divine. Mm. Divine means that you are of, from, or like Jehovah, mm-hmm. relating to or proceeding directly from Jehovah. That's what divine means. When I started studying divinity, because my mind had already started being renewed from the biblical studies and the discipleship 101 and the minister's class, my mind was already being renewed. When I started going into divinity, that renewing of my mind opened up my eyes, gave me 20/20 vision in the word to the point where now I saw that word differently. I saw that word as a mirror. And every time I looked into that word, I saw what I was not, that I should be, because I saw Jehovah.
Amen.
And Jehovah said that if you're my child, you got my DNA. You're supposed to, like you said, you're supposed to be looking like me.
Right.
You're supposed to be acting like me. We're made in his image, in his likeness. Mm-hmm. And so every time I was reading that word and he said this, especially the things that Yeshua said, things that are written in red, I was like, ooh. And it's like pain. I mean, it's ooh. It's like he was circumcising my heart, cleaning out, cutting things off. And this was a painful experience for me because, like I said, I came from a place where it was pride.
Yes.
So all that mess was just being broken up and just cut off and just deteriorated. And I saw myself in a different way. And when I got through that first term out of divinity, the pain started to slack up a little bit because I started to change. And then when Tabernacles last fall, when I went to England with Brother Marcus, Pastor Marcus and his wonderful family and congregation, that got me. That was another transformation in my life because I actually went out there in the tents. I don't know if you guys heard my testimony then, but that transformed my life. I was out there with the sheep, and I studied those sheep, and I said, look how humble they are. Look how sweet they are. And I said, that's how we are described to be, as sheep.
Right.
And I said, but a lot of us, and I started looking back at my life before, a lot of us don't even look like sheep. We look more like goats. And some of them not even just billy goats.
She said billy
goats. Rebellious and just bucking up against the word and bucking up against what the leadership says. And so that changed me. I had an opportunity to get out there and sleep under the stars. And Father just wrapped his arms around me and just let me know that he was with me. He had me. My heart changed. I mean, my heart, it just broke. And then when I came back and started I'm not supposed to be crying up here, Lord. And then when I came back and started studying divinity more, then I actually looked into the word, and it's like the word was just saying, this is what you're supposed to look like. Do you look like this? And I had to keep reflecting back on myself. And then all the things, then you start talking about binge watching TV. There's a lot of things that sometimes we do. It's not necessarily sin, but it will strip you of your anointing.
Yes.
Binge watching TV will strip you of your anointing.
Yes.
A lot of things that we think that we're doing that's in the world, that, oh, it's no sin, it's no harm, it's okay. But if you're not spending the majority of your time trying to get like your father,
right,
trying to get his DNA to shine forth from you so that when people look at you, they can see who he is, because I'm actually eating this mic now. You guys still can't hear me?
Yeah.
Then we're missing it.
Yes.
Because when he comes back, he's looking for his children. He's looking for those that are made in his image. So I just wanted to give a testimony to say that if you have not yet started Discipleship 101, if you have not started minister's training, if you haven't started leadership, if you have the money and you have not started Hebrew Roots University, please, I'm almost begging you, please get in the word, study to show yourself approved, not to me, not to Pastor Arthur, not to any man, but show yourself approved unto your father. You need to look like him. We can't be looking like the world and calling ourselves his children. We can't be acting like the world and calling ourselves his children.
Right.
And the only way we're going to look like him is if we get into the word and let that word cleanse us like Drano. Just get all that guck out of there. Do a spiritual DNC. Do whatever's got to do. But you got to get clean. You got to get clean. Hey, brother. Yeah. I didn't recognize who you were.
Yeah.
You got to get clean. So I just wanted to give testimony for that. We got to come out of the flesh, get into the spirit, get into his image, look like him, because we're made in his image and in his likeness. And that's pretty much all my notes. So I just want to just give Father the praise and give you guys the encouragement. Please, my brothers and my sisters, look like our Father.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Praise Yah. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Some of you may have seen me show up this past Thursday evening. So I'm here, Brother Victor from Phoenix, Arizona. I don't think I introduced myself for Thursday. I was in a whole nother world of struggle with Thursday, but praise Yah. Kind of giving a praise report and testimony related to that. It was a struggle for me to get out here, to be here. But the struggle was overcome. And it began days before, in some ways, not so much all the physical difficulty that I was dealing with, but the enemy works in so many ways when you're supposed to be in a place, when you're supposed to be in a place and moving towards a place and into a place that Father has for you and has spoken for you, put it in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit to do so. The enemy has a way of coming to kill, steal, and destroy. It could be in the simplest things, and he'll use your physical, your mental, your emotional. He'll use anything and everything at times, and a combination of it all at times to discourage you from what you already knew was it put in your spirit from the Most High, that this is the place you're supposed to be. This is the direction you're supposed to be going. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And that's kind of what I was dealing with leading up to coming out here to this feast, this time of feasting and fellowshipping with brethren. And I knew, and it was already a great desire. It's been a great desire for me to come out here when I'm able to come out here. It's always an abundant blessing and nothing less than that. Like, I can't expound on that enough. And I knew that that was going to be the case again. Like, I know, like, Father is faithful and true. And when he puts something in your heart, it's there and it has fruit that will come forth, but we got to endure. We got to press through, like really press through whatever it is that's coming our way, whether it's coming through your physicality, your body, your mental, your emotional, dealing with people in your life, in your circle that are making things difficult in whatever ways that could potentially discourage you or make you question, be like, maybe I don't need to do that right now. Maybe I don't need to go out this time. Or whatever the situation is, we really need to sit back and reflect in, what was that initial thing that you knew Father put in your heart? Don't lose sight of that. Because that's exactly what is trying to be accomplished in us at all times, in all areas of our life, in the simplest things. And I'm just bearing witness and testimony that that dynamic was trying to manifest itself days before I even started to make my final preparations to come out here in multiple areas. And parts of my mind were having these thoughts or potential considerations of like, is it a good idea for you to still try and follow through and make this trip? Not because I didn't desire and know the value that's waiting for me, but because of, well, what if, because I already was feeling a little bit of things with my back, because I have I experienced an injury in my military past, but Father has miraculously transformed and worked in my body over the years. But I know the history of when I see these things try to come at me, what they can become, and how vicious of a debilitation can become of it because of what has happened in the past. But I had to be like, you know what? Father's continued to see me through. And I know it was from him that I'm supposed to be coming out here. So I'm going to come out here and I'm going to go through the process, regardless of whatever physical, whatever emotional, whatever stresses that the enemy's trying to work in my life leading up to this to discourage me, make me question to come out here. I'm just going to press through because I know who Father is, and he's going to get me there. And when I'm there, I was like, I know it's going to be confirmed that that's where I was supposed to be. And that's exactly what happened. So Thursday night, I get over here, and I could not think very well at all compared to my norm by the time I got the plane landed here in Charlotte. I wasn't doing the whole day. I didn't realize it till after the fact, but I was pretty much fasted for since Tuesday, and hadn't slept since Tuesday just because the dynamics of preparing, work schedule, getting everything arranged to be out here. and it's everything. So that just kind of like kind of set my body up in a way to kind of already be a little bit challenged. And so started feeling the back pretty nasty migraine headache. I've had far worse, but it was nasty enough to where I'm enduring in the flight and everything. But through that, and while I'm praying over myself throughout the whole day, throughout my whole travel, blessing Father and praying things within my life, other struggles and discouragements that were trying to be brought to me, praying over those things, Father's showing me that even though I was feeling the challenges in my back, even though I was feeling what I was feeling with my head and even in my spirit, my emotions, the challenges that were there for different reasons, that He was sustaining me, and that in the past, when I would feel those types of things, especially in the body with my back, I wasn't in a place where I could press through as well. Like, there is growth in different levels of healing that Father was showing and proving to me. He's like, look what you're doing. He's like, you're still making this trip and you're holding up. Mm-hmm. You're going through some, mm-hmm. but you're holding up. You're holding up and you're gonna hold up. And I'm like, ooh, I'm down. So let's get there. But I got here, and man, I was sitting in the chair at the table, and it was a challenge for me to stay seated in the chair, just that simple thing. Not because my back wasn't allowing me, but just the intense effort of just trying to keep myself collected. Because what I kept dealing with while I was sitting there, while the message was going forth from Brother Arthur, was these thoughts kept coming in my head. And this is how I speak within myself. Like a lot of people call me G. There's people out there that's all they know me by. They don't know my name is Victor, but they know that's G. It's a nickname, a short name that has been given to me through my military experience and other places. But anyway, I've learned that that's how I talk within me. I'm like having these discussion in my mind. It's like, G, just lay down on the ground, right? You just need to lay down on the ground. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm right. I'm like in this. In the assembly, like teachers go forth, and I'm like, nah, let's. And I'm just praying over myself, and I'm listening to the word going forth. But these thoughts, like, just lay down. You just got to lay down on the ground. My body just wanted to shut down. It just wanted to shut down. And part of that is just my military past. Like, I used to do that. We used to do that. It's just like we're in a jungle, we're in a desert somewhere, isolated location. And we don't have furniture. We're trying to set up a site or whatever, get things going. So that's part of my past history is like, just lay down. You feel like you need to lay down? There ain't no bed out here. So let's just lay down. But so I'm like kind of have flashbacks to the way going through. And I'm like, I'm not going to lay down. But if I end up laying down, then I end up laying down. I don't know. We'll see how this goes, Father. I didn't end up laying down. In the middle, but I was dealing with that. And then as soon as the message finished, I came up and I spoke that I was needed prayer, and we received prayer. We went forth, but not just for me, but for whoever wanted to join in. So I'm believing and I'm expecting that there's others that receive healing and release, because I received release after that prayer. It wasn't instant and completely gone in the exact moment, but as the prayer was going forth, as the prayer finished, I felt a difference. I felt things starting to subside, and I think I was able to actually smile and stuff and greet my brothers right after, and I felt better. My spirit man felt better too, not just my physical. And I went and got to the Airbnb with Brother George and Cindy and the family. I got over there, got situated, and I bless Yah because He continued to confirm to me And that night, as I sat down with Brother George, and we just kind of caught up a little bit, my body was still wanting to shut down, and it needed to in a way. But I was able to be coherent and actually talk, where before it was different. And I kept going through the night, and Brother George is like, yeah, let Brother Victor go rest. He could tell I needed to rest. But I was being blessed, and I was enduring just to be in fellowship with him, even though I knew I needed to lay down. But something in me also needed to do that enduring for the time I did. And I went to bed, Brother George, and I was like, Brother, we were both believing that when I went to bed and then when I woke up, we were believing for I'd be like night and day. And I knew that it's very possible based off of the past and based of how my body has responded in the past, that situation, the way I was feeling I could still be here today right now and still be struggling in that same condition, and it worsened. That's happened to me in my past. So I woke up the next morning like night and day.
Wow.
I like release. Like I felt like I still needed rest because I hadn't slept, but the whole affliction in my body that I was dealing with was gone, just completely released. Like that.
Amen.
And I was hoping and praying, and I knew that was possible, and I was claiming it. But I also knew that with the condition I was in, based off of past times, that it could very, very likely, everything in the natural would say that it would still be there the next morning and some, and still growing and escalating. But that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And that's Father. Like, he let me know that. And I went through my day. I went to my appointments. I had a pretty full schedule. I went nonstop. And today I even feel even better. I feel amazing today. I feel solid, and I bless Father for that. And I did mention something about my biological brother, who is a brother in Messiah, my brother Israel, back in Phoenix, that he was in the hospital that last I had heard. Once I got here, I found that out. I didn't know. It was a surprise to me. I don't have a good update on that status right now, but I did get some word back from my mother yesterday briefly, because I mentioned that they were trying to see if there was blood clots or anything in his lungs or affecting his heart, because his heart rate was somewhat irregular, and that was the concern. But they sound like they did confirm they're not seeing any blood clot concerns or anything like that.
Amen.
But I want to get some more update, check in, and I'm believing that there's going to be even more good report and release in that situation, whatever
Amen.
Needs be. And Brother George said something to me in regards to my brother Israel. He's like, we don't know. Like, he could be there because he's there potentially. Father just got us some there. And he could be there just to be a ministry to somebody there. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's real. I'm like thinking about that. I was like, because I know Father has allowed me to get to a place to where some struggle puts me in a place and an environment that I otherwise wouldn't be there for the short time I was. But in those moments, Father, after the fact, after I get out that situation and circumstance, I'm like, oh, I was there and I was able to minister while I was in that situation. And it's like, that's probably the reason why I was allowed to go through what I had to go through in the moment, because it didn't make sense to me. Like, this came out of nowhere. But in that time, in that place, I was given the opportunity to be used as a vessel, and I made myself available to do it. And Father showed me that after the fact. And he's like, see, that thing went came and went. Your whole purpose was to be in that place, and that's what I used to get you in that place. Mm. And you were able to be a light to those people in a condition that they would see is like, how could you be in the challenge that you are? I see you in the challenge you are in, but yet you're helping me, you're ministering to me. Like, you're not consumed and debilitated and stuck in the condition that you're experiencing. You're actually you're serving me. Like, that's that. And I've literally had certain people kind of express that in their own way. They're like, I'm supposed to be helping you. You're here to get help from me, but you're helping me. Mm-hmm. And they're blown away. And sometimes the person's in tears. Mm-hmm. And Father's like, shows me, it's like, that's the main reason why I allowed you to go through that. It's because I had you from the beginning to the end of it. I just needed you to get to that person.
Right.
And when Brother George said that to me about potentially, when we were talking about my brother, I was like, man, we never know. And I just, that was just put in me to share that for whoever that may benefit. Sometimes, and as I speak that, I'm reminded when Paul speaks and talks about being in a mindset of being encouraged and praising the Almighty through our afflictions. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why. Because we're going to go through affliction no matter what in this life. That's just how it go. But how we go through those afflictions, how we press through, endure to the end, endure through with faith, makes all the difference. Because are we going to let the circumstance of the difficulty that we feel trap us up, bind us up, chain us up, and we're just being focused on that to where we don't see the opportunity that Father's bringing forth and putting in front of us to be a vessel and a light to other people, despite how we're going through? And once you do that, Father's so good, you start getting release, because you're dying to the flesh. You're like, your flesh is screaming at you. Your mental, your emotional screaming at you. You feel it. Sometimes you have to go get away and get on your face and pour out yourself in tears. You're going through. But in the midst of all that, where are we looking for the opportunity to be a light and vessel in spite of all that we're going through?
Amen.
Where are we going to be that living sacrifice and be like, my purpose is still to praise the Most High. My purpose is still to be a worshiping vessel, an obedient vessel, obedience, worship, one in the same. And be that light to the world. Looking for that opportunity, even though I'm feeling like trash. Knowing that He's going to get me through. So let's just still be trying to stay focused on our call, on our purpose of being that vessel. And that just requires some real pressing through. And Arthur's, after Thursday, after we was done with the formal part and we camera shut off, I walked back towards him, and he's like, I can't remember exactly what Arthur said, but paraphrasing, he's like, you press through. It's basically, you was pressing through, bro. I said, had to. And he's like, have to. And either him or I, we kind of finished each other's sentence in a way. It's like, if you don't, it'll take you over. We're called. Our identity is in Messiah. And what did Messiah do? He endured. Mm-hmm. That whole persecution he went through on a day-to-day basis, and even leading up to the crucifixion stake, that whole process, you see it detailed, how even at times he didn't even open his mouth in where he could have opened his mouth and decided to speak out of his flesh because of the situation, because of the mistreatment, because of the abuse, because of the attacks. He didn't do that. He still stayed focused in that place of great, dire challenge, great, dire agony that he was experiencing at times. And he kept the mindset of, I'm Father's vessel. I got to speak spirit and life, regardless of the situation around me. I got to walk out my faith. I got to walk out what Father's called me to. Not just name and proclaim it, but walk it out and walk in it. So we got to endure. We got to press. In many ways, we got to be a type of warrior for the Most High, because there is a war. It's not flesh and blood, But there is a war that we are in. And sometimes, and a lot of times, it's our own selves that we gotta get conquered as part of that war. That other side of our flesh, carnal nature, that's warring with the spirit of Yehovah, that's trying to break through within us. There's breakthrough for us. Always. Yehovah is a L of perpetual breakthrough. But we got to press through. We got to press through.
Amen.
He's faithful. And I bless him.
Amen.
I bless him like, yeah, it's just a blessing to be here. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Amen.
Shabbat shalom, beloved saints of Yehovah Elohim.
Shabbat shalom.
I am Brother Winston Shelby. This is my wife, Tanisha. And our son, Caleb, is here. We are here from Kankakee, Illinois, which is just south of Chicago. Sister Tamai, I just want to tell you that teaching was stellar. It was amazing. You let Father use you. You were hitting on all cylinders, and it just touched my soul, and I thank you so much for that teaching. A thing that came up is when you, in the beginning, you said you were a little nervous, you might have felt a little nervous. I know when we went to Nigeria and I was about to do my teaching, initially when I was sitting there and Apostle Ike was going to call me up, I felt a little nervous. And the Holy Spirit told me, why are you nervous, Winston? What are you nervous about? And I sat there and contemplated it, and it came to me and it dawned on me that my ego is attached to my nervousness. My pride is attached to how I look to people, how I come off. And Father said, you're speaking my word, so don't worry about how you look. Amen. So I have a little testimony. Well, we have a testimony. And it's right in line with what Brother Victor just said. It's about enduring tests, and it's about encouraging one another. We went to Nigeria a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys know that, but Sister Tanisha and I and Caleb went to Nigeria, Port Harcourt, to assemble with Apostle EK and them. Do you want to tell a little bit of testimony?
I'll just say that when we were doing our like paperwork for our like visa and stuff like that, we kept meeting roadblocks. And then even just getting our tickets, we kept meeting roadblocks. And our flight even got canceled a couple of days before we were supposed to leave. And it just like so many roadblocks kept going and happening. Even when we got in Lagos, we had roadblocks to even get to Port Harcourt. And so Winston was getting like done frustrated. Like he's like, I'm about done. and throughout each stage of each like moment of frustration, I was like, I just didn't feel like Father was saying like don't keep pushing forward. So I just would like nod, you know, when I see him frustrated, and I was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna keep moving forward. We're just gonna keep doing this. And so praise Jehovah, we made it. We made it there, even in spite of everything that tried to keep us from going.
Yeah, the enemy was definitely attacking. I'm one of those people that I'm like pretty analytical, and I look at things, you know, in a linear sense, and I'm like, this is not making any sense. Why can't we get a flight? Why are all these things happening? And the thing about it is, when our flight got canceled, I'm not going to name the airline, I'm not going to put them on blast, but they canceled our flight going there, but the flight coming back was not canceled. That's illogical. So they're like, we're going to refund the money for the trip going there, but the money coming back, we're going to penalize you for it. And so they kept, and I'm not talking about $50, $100, I'm talking about thousands of dollars. They were not going to refund. So we ended up, that ended up happening. Tanisha did what she did. And we made it to Port Harcourt a day later. So we still got the fellowship with them, but there were so many obstacles and the devil was trying to keep us from getting there. He knew that there was a purpose for us to be there, and he was trying everything he could to stop us. When we got to Nigeria, this is one little caveat I want to say. When we got there, like Sister Tammy Tamai said, when your emotions get affected, you make dumb decisions, basically. So when I got to the airport, we got bum rushed by all these guys. I mean, it's their culture. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go too much into it, but these guys hit me up for like just money every angle. Oh, you got $10. You got $20. We ended up losing like $20 at the airport when actually I should have gave like $5, $10. But that's what happened. Then when we got the cab ride to the hotel room, it was supposed to be like 16 naira, which is, I don't know, $8 or something like that. We get there and the guy all of a sudden is like, oh, it's 60 naira. I said 60. I said, you said 16. So now we're paying quadruple the amount that we were supposed to pay. So they were just raking us over the coals that first day. So I was like, I ain't coming back to Nigeria no more. I'm done. Like, I'm good on. So that was the first day. And when we got to the hotel room, when we got in the room, there was a scent in there. It was like musty. It was like mold. It was a moldy scent. And so Tanisha started getting sick. So I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, it was a nice looking place. It was decent. But the smell, and she just got sicker and sicker. And so we had to get another hotel room and leave there. And this is like after flying 20 hours. Wow. So that our first day was just, it was shot. And so I'm messaging back with Brother George. He was there. We were supposed to meet up with him. We didn't get to see him because he was leaving when we were coming. I'm messaging Apostle EK, and we're just going back and forth. And I'm like, Father don't want us to be over there. That's, you know, I'm just ready to throw the towel in. I'm like, forget it. Father will close doors if he don't want you to go somewhere. So I'm trying to figure out, is it Father or is it the enemy? Is it the enemy? So I guess the last day that we were trying to book the flight, this was like a Wednesday. Yeah, because we got there Thursday. We were trying to book the flight and it just wasn't working. It wasn't flowing all day. And if it wasn't for Brother George messaging me and encouraging me, he touched my spirit and he was like, Brother Winston, the enemy is trying to stop you. There is a reason you guys are supposed to be there. And when George sent me that message, it just permeated my soul. It touched me. And at the last minute, we had to send money and do all these. Oh, it was madness. At the last minute, we got the flight. So we went out the next day and we fellowshiped with them. And the thing about it is we went out there to teach, but we got ministered to. I came back just like the sister said, I came back transformed. My mind, I had got so many new ideas on what to do. And Father just spoke to my soul. And it wasn't just about teaching to the assembly. We were ministering to individuals as well, one on one. So it was just a beautiful experience. And I will go to Nigeria again now. So, but I'm just so happy to be here with you guys. This is our first Passover. We've been here four or five times now. And this is our first feast that we're celebrating, so you're going to see us a few more days. We love you guys from the bottom of our heart. Praise Jehovah Elohim. In the name of Yeshua.
So they can email me the prayer requests.
Yes, and Minister Tamai, I wanted to ask you a question in regards to your teaching. I have experienced several stages of being, you know, renewed throughout my life. And, but what I've noticed like recently, is some like resistance from like people in my life when, as you get renewed, as you start to be transformed and change, have you seen where like even like close relatives where they won't let go of who you were, like they won't accept your transformation or your reformation? Have you experienced that?
Absolutely. I don't think it's any of us that haven't experienced that, especially with family and close friends. I come from a huge family. I'm one of 11. And I happen to be the youngest girl. So like my oldest brother is like 83, you know. So when my family, whenever we're around in the beginning, you know, they were just kind of quiet about it. But there is some instances with family and close friends where I had to separate myself because their refusals to accept what Jehovah is doing in my life is between them and Jehovah.
Amen.
Father had to teach me how to let go, because especially when it comes to family, we love our family. I love my family. And my house was, it's the gathering house. You know, when, when, you know, the holidays came around, I did the big cooking, because anybody know me know I love to cook. So everyone was at my house for, you know, the holidays. Well, when I let my family know that I'm no longer celebrating these holidays, it was a little struggle in the beginning. You know, it's not as bad now. I've had friends who've walked away, and, you know, and they, you know, their exact words, well, you know, that's not their truth. And it probably isn't their truth. But my Bible tells me that Yeshua is the truth. So I follow what Yeshua says. So you will, the way that I look at it is that I, as I am kind of doing a my own little walk through the Gospels, I kind of put myself in the place of the people in Scripture. Like when Paul had his Damascus Road experience, I can only imagine what went through his head. He was a Pharisee, and he was trained by the top Pharisee. So now he's faced with a total transformation of his thinking that, like most of us, is ingrained in us from birth, probably. And now he has to stand before the people who taught him and say, thus says Jehovah. I can only imagine how it had to, the people of Scripture had to feel going against the grain, because that's basically what we're doing. It is acceptable. Most religions today is acceptable, and they'll accept what you're saying as long as what you're saying lines up with what they believe. But when we come in and we say, hey, well, based on what the Scripture says, that's not so. One of the things that was a big debate for me, and I do bless Jehovah because it was truly him that helped me through it, was when my mother passed. Now, one of my sisters said to me, well, based on what we were taught in the church we grew up in, that mom is in heaven. I said, no. Mom is asleep. Well, hey, absent from the body, present. That is not what Paul said. But at the time, it wasn't the time, because emotion was running too high to sit and give her a Bible study. But at the same time, we know, especially with situations like that, that it is difficult. But what Father has given the charge to me is choose ye this day who you're going to serve. I believe Father does understand how much we love our family, how much we love our friends. But he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that means walking away sometime.
Yes.
And it hurts.
It does.
And like I said, you'll cry. I've cried. But I didn't come this far to splash down into a lake of fire.
Right. That's right.
I almost put that on a t-shirt.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Shalom. Shalom.
Okay, it's comments time.
Okay.
From Pam, I think that some of us have a history of being fed lies because the lies / whitewashings were to us by people we thought we could trust. I remember hearing stuff in different churches that just didn't make sense, and I didn't realize it was Jehovah speaking to me to tell me, go check it out for yourself. I just give thanks that I listened to that small voice and went directly to the source, the word, to read and see for myself. Great topic, renewed mind.
Amen. Oh, okay.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
My name is Samuel Danjoint, from Charlotte, but I live in D.C. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. This whitewash that you spoke about, what is it?
What exactly is the whitewash?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, whitewash can be identified in a lot of ways. The most common things that we know that religion teaches us is one, Sunday is the Sabbath, and we already know that that's not true. Religion teaches us that, what I said earlier, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Whitewash. Whitewash basically is people manipulating the scripture to meet a doctrinal thought that was created by man. Basically, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to interpret it for you based on my knowledge and my thinking and my, you hear all those my's? My thinking, my contrary to keeping the word in the context in which it was written and given to us. That's one of the reasons why in the discipleship class, we are taught if we're reading a particular book of the Bible, remember I had started off, who wrote it? Why was it written? Who were they talking to? Who the letter was addressing, you know, and when? Those foundational questions will help you keep the context of the book. Meaning, if I'm writing a letter to you, what is in the letter is meant for you. Now, you might drop that letter in the street by accident and somebody else read it. It's really no consequence. They're not going to understand it because it was written directly to you. So when it comes to the word, we have to do the research first, the background research, so that we understand what it was that their father was saying to us, so that when someone says something contrary, then your antennas are going to go up. You're going to like, well, wait a minute, that's not quite true. And it will provoke you, either it will provoke you to do more study or question the person who is trying to teach you contrary. Most people think, I've come to experience when I share our faith with people of other beliefs, they want to dismiss it because for years we were taught that we didn't have to observe the law, that the law was for the Jewish people and it's not for us. And they've misinterpreted the purpose and Father's even intent for grace. So because of that, when you think about it, if you don't, like in my example, in my testimony earlier about getting a ticket, I didn't know the law existed. So I was guilty of breaking that law. A lot of people in religion they've never even read Torah. They don't know what it means. They don't know what it is. They don't even read it. But are willing to extract the blessings from it.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we know.
Okay, I think we're on. Yeah. I think to ask what is whitewash would be going through every false teaching that has been taught. Mm-hmm. And that could take forever. I think a better question, not that I want to change your question, but as I'm sitting there thinking, how do you identify whitewashing? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it comes in so many flavors, yes, that you don't really know. Mm-hmm. Most of us have the ability by the Holy Spirit to recognize it, but not necessarily know that it is. And that is when you're sitting in an environment and something is said and you think to yourself, that don't sit right. Mm-hmm. That don't feel right. Mm-hmm. That don't even sound right. So for me, what I would focus on is how to identify it, because even though you know it don't sound right, why? And the question that I would ask is, where is that at in the Bible? Mm-hmm. If somebody is saying something that doesn't fit right or sound right, then the question is, where is that at in the Bible? Because there are a lot of things that we have been taught as biblical that ain't in the Bible. And yet we accept it as it's biblical, even though we can't find it in the Bible.
Right.
If you're not careful, you'll turn that off. Mm-hmm. And that's the danger, because at that moment now you become whitewashed.
Right.
And this is where Yeshua is saying to the Pharisees, you're whitewashed sepulchers. Mm-hmm. You see? So when you are communicating something biblical, it's important to be able to show where it is in the Bible. If you got to go and pull out all those other books and have an hour explanation over something that should be simple, then that would be a way to identify when it's happening. So the thing you want to do, like, you know, some people say the best way to recognize counterfeit is that you know the real. So once you know the real, the counterfeit will you don't have to, I mean, you just put it up to the light. There it is. Put it up to the light. And the light is the word. So once you know the words, what the word says, when somebody is bringing something that's not in the word because they can't show it to you, then you recognize that you may be dealing with whitewashing.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.
Can you hear me? Shabbat
Shalom. My name is Anna. This is my son, Zedek, 6.5 years old. We're from Miami. And so happy to be here. What a blessing.
Amen.
We've been tuning in for years now via YouTube. And it is beautiful and so precious to be here and see everything and how excellent you all operate and everything. It was a challenge to get here from Miami driving, but we pressed on. And I did want to testify. So my son and the goodness of the Father and what he can do as long as we stay consistent, press on, and don't lose faith, even though it might seem or people may say. But my son was diagnosed with ASD. And echolalia at 3. And I'm just here to testify. Last year, my sister Shayla came to the feast and I submitted a prayer request for Zedek. And I just want to say he's graduated speech, occupational therapy.
Amen.
Honor roll twice this year and on track for the third time. And just got tested for gifted.
Amen.
No echolalia. And that's just the goodness of the Father. So I want to encourage all the parents, when the doctor says, when the neurologist says, whatever it may be, the Father is always at work. So, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back because as the message was going forward and I was hearing whitewashing, and the brother comes and asks about whitewashing, and then Arthur gets up and talks about the whitewashing, the word that kept coming to me in conjunction, in relation to that, that was a reminder, and it's relevant to the time that we're into, what we're coming into within these days and this week, is leaven. Leaven. Mm-hmm. Think back when Messiah was talking to the disciples, the apostles, about leaven. What was their initial interpretation or struggle with that? It said that they thought he was talking about bread, mm-hmm. like fleshly bread that you eat. But it goes and clarifies that it was a false teaching, the false doctrine of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees is not just, if we look at it in its proper context for us today, it's not just the Pharisees per se of just Judaism. The Pharisees represent, they're part of, a facet of man-made religious systems. Mm-hmm. Religious systems of men, systems of men, leaven, mm-hmm. the false teaching, the indoctrinations, the skewed theologies, the decontextualized mm-hmm. teachings.
Yes.
Leaven, whitewashing, leaven. That's what kept coming to me.
Amen.
That's what kept coming to me.
Amen.
So hopefully that's a help to somebody.
Amen.
Praise Jehovah.
Amen.
Shalom, HOI.
Shabbat shalom.
Juwan and I are here again. This is our, we just have made this an annual. Huh? I'm in it. I'm not. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better? Okay. A little closer. Okay. Juwan and I made this trip again this year for Passover. This has become something that we set for every year. However, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law couldn't come with us this year. But you all just keep them in prayer. I wanted to, the sister that was talking about her family. And I agree with everything Sister Tamai said. And Juwan and I had that issue with our family. Like you, I was the cook. So every holiday came around, oh, Keisha will cook. We can have it here, but Keisha will do the cooking. And when we finally said, this is not what we're doing anymore, it was a struggle. I got phone calls, text messages, visits. I got all kinds of things. Well, why not? You've done this your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Juwan totally walked away from a lot of family. Mm-hmm. I took baby steps walking away. I did. I'm very family oriented. My family means everything to me. They really do. However, a lot of the conversations that I had with Juwan and even with my pastor at home, my pastor constantly says, just walk in front of them. Walk what you're trying to show them that you're coming away. Walk in it.
Yep.
So if you walk in it, I don't even know where she is at this point, but there she is. Just walk what you believe.
Yep.
Walk in that, mm-hmm. and they'll follow suit. Because my family would do things on Saturday, and I told them, I said, I won't be there.
Right, right.
I don't care what you do.
Right.
I won't be there. Now, if you do it after the sun go down, mm-hmm. I'll show up. But when I stop showing up, they got the picture.
Right.
So now when they schedule family functions, oh, we got to either do it on a Sunday or we got to wait till 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening so Keisha will be here. They do it. Mm-hmm. They have scheduled things just on Sunday for me because they know I'm not coming. Mm-hmm. So just walk.
Yes.
Walk the walk.
Yep.
And they will understand and they will leave you alone. They won't, yep. they won't mess with you. They're not mm-hmm. going to tease you. They're going to say, okay, oh, she came. Oh, okay, we're just going to have to change things. That's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. I'm a living witness to that.
Yes.
My family, they haven't changed everything.
Right.
But the things that they really want me to be there for, they change.
Yes.
So just walk in it. When you were standing here, I was like, oh, I just want to tell her this so bad. Because I've lived it.
Yeah.
And I still get... push back from some of them. I got one uncle that likes to tease me, but he understands.
Right.
He understands, but he teases. That's just him. But They won't. They will not schedule things if they know. And I got one part of our family, they don't see Juwan. It's a problem. Where Juwan at? What time is it? What day is it? He's not gonna be there.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that with you and just to say a happy feast to my HOI family. We are so glad to be here. We'll be here till Tuesday morning. So
amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I am just here to confirm what she says.
Yes.
However, my walk was a little bit different because when Father ordains your footsteps, when I came here about 4 years ago, I just knew. It was like when I found Apostle during the pandemic, it was like my life and my everything depended on it. I never got tired watching. My sisters would say, "You're in church from 11 until." I said, "I'm not in church." "You're in there from 11 until 5. Sometimes she's taking me out after sunset. I'm on my phone. I used to watch it on the phone. And Father made it possible that my sisters, my mom, everybody supported me.
Amen.
My mom said to me when I said, the first year I came, I said, "Mommy, I said, make sure if you pass before me, they don't bury you on Sabbath." My mom jumped up. She's now 93.
Right.
And she said to me, she said to all the siblings, "Now, she talking foolishness, saying, now you all bury me on Saturday." I said, "And I will not be there because it's the Sabbath." Now my mom, if she's 93, she wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm leaving, she says, "Oh, you're going next week." And she is so supportive. My entire family, like she said, they know if they're doing it on Sabbath, I'm not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters, listen here, it's only Father. So when we stand for righteousness and for principle, right, Father makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, he convicts you. I'm artisan by trade. And on Sabbath, I used to leave some of my wares out. And one Friday, the Holy Spirit says, "Now, if you leave them out and they sell your stuff, what are you going to do?" Mm-hmm. So I went around to all the vendors and I said, "On Sabbath, I don't care if the queen comes for anything, you don't sell it." Some of the vendors look at me, "How are you going to know?" I said, "I am not supposed to be doing business, monetary transaction on a Sabbath. So if they want it and I'm not, don't sell it." So what I started to do, I started to cover the stuff. And to be honest, when you walk with him, the blessings come over and over.
Yes.
And since I've started this walk, my finances have quadrupled, if that's the right term. There is absolutely no lack.
Amen.
And another thing I noticed, like Sister Tamai said, the enemy is coming. And if you look, some of the vendors are saying, "This is Obeah." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah? That's what you're saying?" I said, "Go and research it." And I said, you know, we don't like confrontation. We don't like opposition. But the more the enemy piles it on, the more Father blesses you in their face. So all of those who are online and those who are here,
you go ahead and preach.
Welcome opposition. It's not, you don't feel right. But when it comes, be rest assured that Father has something greater in store for you.
Yes.
And I look at it and I am blessed beyond measure in terms of family support. All my sisters, if they are cooking, and they are cooking, unclean, they prepare a separate pot just for me. And it is not me. It is the Father working through them. And I'm believing that all of them will one day come into truth. And like Sister Tamai said, whitewash. You know, I asked one of my elder sister. I said, "What?" He offered me some food. There was bacon in it. And I'm going to say this on live. The only thing I ate was unclean. Conch. I love pig feet and all those. And since I started the walk, it's like I never tasted those things. So, Father is so awesome.
Yes.
Just give it to him, and he makes it possible. And for those persons online who don't come up to the feast, I come here every feast. I have not missed one feast. And, well, I used to miss trumpets, but I closed my business without workers, and the money flows whether I'm there or not. Amen. So purpose in your heart to come to the feast, because once you've come here,
right,
once you've tasted of the goodness of Jehovah, you will keep coming. And I tell them, if I had to swim to get here, Father would give me fins to swim here. So, my saints in the Bahamas, Sister Fanny, Brother Horton, Sister Linda, Sister Sue, and all those, and the people I share with, please, you don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
Come on up and be blessed.
Amen.
Also, too, I'm glad you said that, because I have a small business as well, and I would take vending things, and I said, you know what? The beginning of the year, somebody sent me like a list of dates, and I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I cannot do this anymore. And I prayed and I said, Lord, I said, I know you put me in this position to start this business, and you've helped me and you've sent people to me and you've kept my regulars on a consistent basis. And like she just said, I shut down my Saturdays. Every time they have something on a Sunday, or even if it's something late at night on a Saturday, they'll send it to me. I've traded out with people for days. We'll pay if it's a weekend event. If I want to do the Sunday, I'll trade out with somebody for that Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it's just an even trade. And I truly thank God for opening my eyes to that, because I felt like I got this business. I got to stay afloat. Not thinking and not realizing he's kept me afloat because of my regular customers. Mm-hmm. He never let them fall away. I stopped doing I used to do lives on Facebook. I haven't done a live in almost 2 years, but my clientele has gone up. Mm-hmm. And I truly thank him for that. So just walk in it.
Amen.
Walk in it. That's all I can stress to you is just walk in it and believe it. When you walk in it, stand firm and your head held high. That's all I can tell you, because that's what I do. Thank you.
Amen. And just so you'll know that over the years, whenever it's time for us to come over for feast, my family, isn't it almost time for you to go to Charlotte? They don't say feast. Isn't it almost time for you to go to Charlotte? You getting back? They start, you know, they start like, and I'm like, come on, go with me. Come on. Come on, go with me. Now, I do have a couple of family members that are starting to observe Torah, so. It's just understand that it's a process. Like she just said, all I did was make the decision to walk in it. Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
My name is Starlina Ferguson. My daughter and I drove from Chicago, Illinois. I'm so tired. Oh, yeah. We just drove from Chicago, Illinois. It was very important that I got here today.
Amen.
Just a little backstory about 15 years ago, I want to say, I received what is called the truth, right? You know, you stop dealing with the holidays and you deal with the Shabbat. Kind of fell away from it about 5 years ago just because I felt like I was not receiving, I guess the depth of it. I knew I was missing something. So last year I said, okay, I'm going to just read the whole Bible. I read the whole Bible, came to my own conclusions. And about maybe 8 weeks ago, I came across these teachings. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm back. And it was right on time for the new year and this feast here, Passover, which was something I was struggling with for those years that I was away. I was always having conversation with the Father, like, in my, like, do you still hear me? Mostly because when I did receive it, I was in a very religious atmosphere. I guess I'm learning the depth of grace. And so I'm here.
Amen.
And prayerfully continue to be strengthened and walk in it a little bit more deeper.
Amen.
But praise y'all. Hallelujah. That's it. Thank you.
Welcome to the House of Israel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
Amen. I've been watching online for a very long time. To actually be standing here is sort of strange because I've seen the mic and seen Sister Sharon and everybody stand here. So I praise Father for being here. I'm new in the walk of Hebrew Israelite, but I have to say that I'm extremely happy to be here. It was a struggle getting here once I moved. Some of you know, LaShawl is my wife. Amen. And it was a struggle. The Sunday I moved here, got here, slept all day Monday, went to ER or went to urgent care on Tuesday and Wednesday, went to ER and was admitted to the hospital. But the prayers of this place has brought me out. Amen. Yeah. So after being in the hospital for 8 days, I stand before you giving all praise to the Almighty. The phrase I was thinking of after spending 21 years in apostolic and Church of God in Christ before that and Baptist before that and Church of the Firstborn before that, I was thinking about the in-depthness of traditional Christianity that I was a part of. And I forgot the phrase that the sister used earlier, but I was thinking about LaShawl as I was sitting over there because I think I was probably her biggest stumbling block. It was another word used, but I was her stumbling block. I gave her a very difficult way to go, and I have apologized for it. I have apologized. But I gave her a very difficult way because when she first came into HOI and the ministry, I looked, I'm like, no. Don't take all that. Don't got to do that. Because I was thoroughly submerged in the ways of apostolic, Resurrection Sunday, because we no longer use Easter. We were Resurrection Sunday because he got up on this third day that we kind of calculated out of a day and a half. And even though I had the question, I'm like, okay, it's got to be 3 days. I just don't know enough. So I dismissed it, knowing that the calculations weren't right and so forth. And I even remember reading years ago about Christmas and the decoration of the tree. But I said, you know, that's Old Testament. It's all right. We can do that. But my point is, I give all praise to Jehovah because even though LaShawl and I went through some very difficult times leading up to now, she continued, no matter what state she was in, no matter what she was going through, Jehovah allowed her to still walk out her faith. Even when there were issues about, I knew behind those issues was her desire to give all praise and honor to the Most High. Hey. Were there some deviations? Were there some problems? As with anything in life. But yet, I was able to continue to look at her life. And I said, wait a minute now. There's got to be something to this. Because I'm watching her life transform. And I'm watching the apostolic speaking in tongues, laying on her hands in my life stay the same. And I'll never forget a phrase, and then I'm going to sit down, but I'll never forget a phrase that she said to me, and I'm going back and forth. LaShawn, you don't have to, what is this keeping of these feast days, and what is all this? You don't got to do all that. All you got to do is X, Y, and Z. And she looks at me and she goes, well, if you're apostolic, why aren't you walking out your walk? That's how you feel about it? But, and that was, I think, probably about 5 years ago when she made that statement to me. But that statement stuck with me because I had to think, if the walk you walking is so wrong and the walk I'm walking is so right, how come I'm not walking out my walk? And then as time goes past, I can watch Father bless her in her life. I can see her going into trials and some very, very, very difficult things. Father brings her out on the other end unscathed. I'm like, wait a minute. This has to be nothing but the Almighty. And I'm watching even her move here, how Father turned around and blessed, and I wound up deviating. I had to go and do other things sort of beyond my control, but he brought her here and established her. I'm like, that's nothing but the hands of the Almighty.
Right.
So I had already decided to make changes. I let go of pork a year ago, as much as I loved the bacon and the ham. I recognized I wanted to show something to the Almighty. Even though I wasn't keeping feast days, there were things I began to observe, and I started just taking on a little bit at a time. You know, no more pork. Okay, we're going to start honoring the Sabbath. Okay, we got these two. And I started just chipping away little at a time. But I thank God for Jehovah for her continued steadfastness, because she gave me something to be able to look at, something to be able to say that this walk is right, this walk is true. Now, I'm excited to have myself here going forward, getting myself established. So I'm very, very grateful to each and every person here for your prayers. Please continue to pray much for us. And amen. That's it.
Amen. Shalom.
From Thomas, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Minister Tammy. This was a true, profound message concerning whitewashed tombs proclaiming the gospel. There are a lot of false doctrines being proclaimed. Yes, the discipleship course does indeed help to get understanding, and I do also recommend this course. It has helped also. I want a minute to comment about the parable you told at last and the judge starting to change his name or actions. This reminded me of Jehovah claiming, do not take my name in vain. Thank you again for this message.
Amen. Shalom, brother.
From Carolyn, amen to this wonderful sister and her encouragement to learn the word. Great teaching from Sister Tamai. Praise Jehovah.
Yes, Jehovah.
From Rhonda, thank you, Sister Tamai. That was a great teaching. Praise Jehovah. From Edmund, Shabbat Shalom, Mr. Tamai and Saints of Jehovah. What a powerful, eye-opening, and transformative message. Glory to the King, and thank you for delivering it. May we continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in this new year and beyond to the glory of our Father. Shalom.
Shalom.
From Carolyn, we got to find out that we weren't all We have to find out that we weren't all that wanted, so family did not change anything to include us. As a matter of fact, they did it all the more to make it impossible for us to meet with them. But praise Jehovah all the more, for he matters more than family.
Amen.
He is simply changing who family really is to us. HOI has become our family. From Wayne, thanks for the teaching today. Well, that's a testimony. We are in testimony, so. Wayne's testimony is, I'm 69, 1.5 years old. I went through circumcision yesterday to be ready for Passover. I felt like I should do this, but I hadn't. I wanted to encourage others not to wait to do this as I did. I'll be looking forward with anticipation for seeing the hand of Jehovah this Passover. Shalom, HOI, brethren worldwide.
Amen.
Thank you, Amen. Apostle Bailey, and all the staff for your dedication and steadfastness.
Amen.
Our next testimony is from Patrina. Shalom, Apostle Arthur and HOI family. I must give all the glory, honor, and praise to our mighty, powerful, and loving Heavenly Father, Jehovah. He was truly with me throughout my surgery, which was a success.
Amen.
Although unexpected challenges arose, by the help and grace of our Father, they were able to get everything out. I was even able to go home the same day with no pain.
Amen.
I did experience Amen. Some discomfort, but I didn't need to take pain medication.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The only issue I faced was going to the washroom, but as of today, I can say, praise Yah, all is well.
Amen.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for all your prayers, love, and support. Our Father does hear and answer prayers. One day I will be at HOI to give the full testimony of just how good our Father is.
Amen. Amen.
A testimony from Emmeline. Shabbat Shalom, HOI family. I'm really grateful to Jehovah for all the goodness and mercy he shows to me and my family. A huge shout out for his ongoing healing in my body from high blood pressure and any other issues that were bothering me. I see his work in me every day, and I just want to give him all the glory, honor, and praise.
All done? Okay. Everybody okay? Amen. So all is well? Everybody full? Oh, bless Jehovah. I guess we have prayers next. Okay. All righty. So as we enter into our time of prayer, okay, thank you, Father. Father, I just come before you right now on the behalf of your people, thanking and blessing you, for we know that when we pray, you hear our prayers. And more importantly, Father, we know that you answer prayer. So right now, and I pray this prayer request from Tracy. She says her dad has cancer, and I'm here in the hospital with him now. Breathing is off and heartbeat fast. Father, we're asking that you regulate the heartbeat. Father, we're asking that you, first of all, calm Tracy. I understand when we are watching someone we love suffer. Give wisdom, give comfort to Tracy as well as to the doctors taking care of her dad. Father, we ask that you do a miracle in his body. Reverse each and every symptom and dismiss it even to the core that it never comes back. Father, I thank you right now because I know that you hear us and you answer our prayers. I only see one prayer. Wait a minute. Is that the only prayer that came through? Oh. I'm sorry? That was the only one? Okay. Well, we thank you, Father, for hearing the prayers, and we understand. We look forward to the praise report about Tracy and the dead, Father. I thank you right now for this time of fellowship. I thank you for every testimony that was shared here in-house as well as those online. Father, we thank you right now because we know that this is the weekly feast that we come together in your presence, Father, following your commandments and understanding that you promised to meet us here. So we thank you for your presence always being here with us. Father, I thank you for this upcoming celebration in the next couple of days and fellowshipping with my family here in Charlotte. Father, I thank you for your your precious Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, brought us over the highway, Father, for those of us that drove, for those that flew through the air. Thank you for keeping the airplanes in the air, Father. Father, we're living at a time where planes are falling out the sky, Father, and we thank you that we serve the creator of all that is, and you are the one that control each and everything in this universe. So, Father, we thank you. And we ask that you be with us as we continue to break bread and fellowship throughout the rest of the day and the rest of our feast time this week. We thank you that for those that may be traveling home today, that you would help them get there safely, Father. For those who are coming in for Passover and Unleavened, Father, I pray that they have traveling mercies as they come through, and that we would just enjoy you and the fellowship of the brethren. For it's in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is it. No more prayers, no more. Okay. So to my online family, thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to, how could I forget that? We're going to make sure that we say the blessing over each and every one of us as instructed. So I just ask you right now, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Whew. Shalom, shalom. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.